This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome. We are just a little bit late to 6 minutes. It's all right. So that
right
means
on time,
that means we'll go 6 minutes over just to make up for it. We don't want you to be we don't want anybody to be slighted with their fill of this show on any day, let alone a Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Hi, everybody. I'm Clayton McKee on Q Talk America. It's our pre-Thanksgiving show, which any show before Thanksgiving technically is. But this is the one right before it.
Oh, that would make most of our shows pre-Thanksgiving shows.
And a couple post.
A few.
Yeah. I'm here in the Studio C as usual. That's Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryers there. Al Perkins is somewhere loose in the house. We saw him. Let's go back to, where's that little?
An extra hat.
I don't know. He already left the kitchen. He's on his way back
in
here. Do we have an extra hat? Why do you need a hat? You're going to put headphones on, just like I do.
I've been doing this fancy hair for weeks.
I don't know what you need. What's wrong with you, Marnie? What is wrong with you?
What's love got to do with it?
I'm not a lot. $20, though, it'll get you there. Not sure. We'd like to say hello to everybody in the chat room. Tomo is listening. Tomo hasn't been able to listen or view live in quite a while. He was concerned that he might not be able to recognize everyone, but I said, I think you'll be fine once we all get in studio.
Tomo, we're still out of focus.
Also, Drew is in there, though not in the chat room. I think she's in there as well. My mom is listening. She's already been texting me. Your shawl fell on the floor, but it doesn't really matter.
Next on the list. I just need to go get one more thing.
She's very busy, very busy.
Very busy.
Oh, my heavens. Well, hello again, everybody. This is show 238. It is the 24th of November, 2015. Thank you for joining all of us here in the studio. It's our annual Thanksgiving show where we're going to attempt to eat on the... This is Molly Montgomery's favorite show.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
I hope she's listening. Did you fix the
Wi-Fi? I fixed the fucking Wi-Fi, so she better.
She better.
I spent way too long there and got it way
we're
too fixed.
We're going to talk about that later.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
Thank you, Drew.
But anyway, Molly, if you're listening, enjoy it. Both your Wi-Fi...
We're going to eat fuck out of some food
we're gonna
in your ear.
Chew on the ear.
Chomp.
Chomp, chomp, chomp. Nom, 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 nom. It'll be fantastic. For those of you wondering... There's really so much to wonder about, really.
Well, thanks, Tomo.
Let me get out of this, go to this, go to that. There's so much to happen. There you go.
My sister always texts me, so I thought I should have my...
Kat brought up a good idea that for those of you who don't know how to get to the chat room, I will put it up on our little, on the, there it is across the bottom of the screen for
perhaps
those of you watching on YouTube.
YouTube viewers
it is the, of course, before the Q Talk America, I didn't think it was necessary to have to put there, but the www.qtalkamerica.com/chat_28479.html will get you to the chat room if you don't know how to get to our website and find it there. But I think it's not actually activating off the website because we're not streaming through that link anymore, and that needs to be updated, and that will then bring it back so they can just click right on that. But if you were smart, like you said last week, and bookmark the damn thing.
That's true.
You can get in there any time.
And maybe...
Don't understand those words.
Maybe we can...
Any time. It means any, literally, whatever time you want.
Maybe we could put a fun redirect on there so it would be easier.
Yeah.
Like qtalkamerica.com/chat.
The YouTubes?
Yeah.
Sure. All of the things.
Luckily, it just comes up every time I pull up my internet.
Yeah,
I just start the sentence and it finishes.
That's good.
I do the same thing.
Mama
type in
ain't
chat.
That clever. No.
I think today started was the official start for me, and you all... Feel free to chime in as you wish. Today has started for me the official day of I hate the rest of the year. Because let me explain to you why.
He's a mean one.
Mr. Grinch. No, it's not just that. It's because it seems to me that on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, you should be able to go about anywhere near any shopping facility and still be able to somewhat drive or function.
Oh, that's it. Well, now you're in grocery time, so...
Fuck it.
If they have a food aisle, then you're done this week.
No. Yeah. So I drove I went to the Costco first because I thought that's my
food aisle.
Said fuck it, and then I drove around and just to get to where I was actually going.
That's where this is going.
Which is
food aisle.
Which is the KFC. I went wait. So to drive around to get to the KFC, I had to pass the Super Target and the Ross Dress for Less and all these fucking places. Oh my
should
god!
Should have a food aisle.
The Ross Eat for Less.
Ross Dress for Less. There was nobody. Have a food aisle.
There was nobody in KFC today, which was my contribution to the food because I was in charge of mashed potatoes and gravy. Guess what? They have it there, so it was easy in and out. Got it. We're done. I did go to Fry's and it was fine, but I think at this time of day, Fry's is probably pretty much fucked.
Right now it's fucked, yeah. From now until like 10 o'clock, and then a whole lot tomorrow. Yeah. Like tomorrow.
Tomorrow's those last minute people. Yeah. Right. Forgot something?
No way.
But I do have to give a shout out to the Ghetto Fries at 7th Avenue and Camelback, because they just cooked us a turkey in an hour in their, what is it, convection oven?
Oh.
Oh my God.
I'm excited.
I was like, okay, desperate woman here. It was right out of the ref. But I need eggnog now. I don't know the recipe. So the guy was so nice. He's like, I can throw one in the oven and have it ready for you in like 45 minutes if you can come back. So I paid for it. I went home. I showered. I made the stuffing and the gravy.
Look,
ran back,
go.
Grabbed the turkey, pre-opened my bottle of wine and threew it in the car.
Smart.
So one of you bitches is driving me home tonight.
I can absolutely.
We can also get Uber
home.
To you. That's quite all right.
We can make things happen.
I need to find.
But it was funny that I opened the bottle of wine there, so I didn't waste any valuable time here in the house.
You've done wonderfully.
That's very smart.
You're a thinker.
Where is? Hang on, I need to shut something off, and I need to figure where it is. La 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 la.
So, Kat Carlson, what'd you do this week?
That's good. That's
otherwise,
good
we're all just sitting here staring at each other.
Well, I was busy Instagramming and Facebooking.
Thank God I'm here to get you all going.
I wasn't staring at anybody. I was staring at my computer. What did I do this week? I think my week is full of work. We are planning. Well, not planning. We're having a kind of a gigantic Fakesgiving party tomorrow.
I love that Fakesgiving. Yeah. It's cute.
It just goes on. And happy birthday. Is it today?
It just
is.
It's Friday. Is it today?
Oh, it really is on Friday? Okay, mm-hmm. Well, happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, so, you know, our Thanksgiving kind of got tanked because I love to go to my parents' house, but, like, the kids are at their dad's, and I just started a job, and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, we're not going to California.
Yeah.
So instead of having lame-o Thanksgiving and then having to go to work, which I do have to do, I said, well, everybody's fucking off on Wednesday. Let's have a gigantic party. So nice. About 100 people are coming to my house tomorrow.
Oh, my.
Nice.
Sure,
fantastic.
Sure.
Very nice.
Oh, I'm only exaggerating that by, like, half.
Right. A little hyperbolic.
I was told there'd be no math.
But you know what? I'm super excited about it because, you know, it's clearly all people that we care about that have decided to come over and their families and everything, which is not something that we get to do. And I'm very, like, family style and just fucking come over. I don't care. I've had like, 6 women today apologize to me. They're like, oh, my God, my in-laws.
Careful with punctuation.
Yeah.
I've had, like, 6 women. Careful you pause.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
I didn't pause. Maybe your brain
No,
paused.
It just sounded yeah. like I was. Sound like the line was going somewhere else.
6 women apologized to me today because they're, you know, the ones like, oh, my God, my friend had surgery and I've been, you know, her kids have been hanging out with mine. Would it be okay if I bring extra kids? I'm like, I don't fucking care. Like, bring extra kids. Somebody else is like, my in-laws are in town and, like, my husband opened his big fat mouth, so now they're expecting to come. I'm like, fucking come. Who cares?
Who cares, yeah.
There's a ton of food. It's going to be gorgeous out tomorrow. I rented some tables and shit for the backyard.
Oh, perfect.
Fuck it, yeah. So the week has been a lot of preparations of that. I've baked and baked and baked and baked and worked and baked and worked. And here I am.
What are you, a fucking Keebler elf all of a sudden?
I love it.
Very
well,
busy.
Because when you invite 100 people to your house and promise them homemade rolls.
Two things.
Yeah. I know, you don't
never,
invite people.
He's never going to do either one of those things.
And I don't
this
see
is,
any of
this
that
is
happening.
Pushing my maximum capacity for this house.
I, however, greatly enjoy the occasional party, especially when I don't do most of the cooking. That's like, God love Sharon for putting up with my bullshit shenanigans.
It's God love Sharon overall.
Well, sure. For a lot, basically for me.
Call me shenanigans,
because
call me what you will.
Cat, period.
Period.
Yeah.
End of sentence.
End of sentence.
But no, like, I kind of thought of the whole idea of the party and everything. She's like, yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, we can make a dinner and invite a few people. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, if you have And I had to play that whole game like you do when you're planning a wedding with your family. Like, oh, if I invite these people, well, then I have to invite these people.
Right.
It's a fun game.
So, yeah. So she's baking and cooking and doing things. She's making a
like, and there's a lot less stuff because Marty does it like on Friday, ridiculous. So it's out of shit. Yeah. Is that a secret? Do we?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah, the Marty party on Friday. Yeah. That so I think I've only made two on once like, in yeah. my life, but exactly. it's been going on.
You're either working or something's been going on, or
yeah, usually stuff.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to miss it this year.
Stuff.
I know. Okay. I'm disappointed about that, but we're looking forward to it. Next year, we will.
Yep.
Earmark that. It's every Friday after the Thursday of Thanksgiving. I'm aware. So there's always going to be that. That's
so
the
it's
one
the
that's
first
not like, well, now,
Friday
what day is
after
that on?
The third Thursday.
Friday yeah,
it's,
still?
It's easy yeah. to find. It's easy to find on your
yes,
calendar.
It's so easy to find on your calendar.
Let's go up one.
Yeah. Up one. Literally. Up one.
No, oh, yeah. And your party's been going on forever.
Yeah. To like, I think we're at 20 years.
Oh,
that's
my.
A long time.
18 years?
That feels okay. like.
Yeah, that every it's Friday after Thanksgiving.
It feels like my entire
well, because
lifetime.
We've always, it started out as the people without families in Arizona. And so people that just didn't have anywhere to go, we yeah. tried it on Thursdays. And then they would come over on Thursdays. And then we realized, well, we didn't really want to do that anymore. Because yeah. we like to be able to go and be able to see people and do different things. So then it just started a couple years in of being here on Friday. And we just, it's exponentially
yeah, and I
something
did,
different.
I did the homeless people Thanksgiving for a while, people that didn't have anywhere to go, and then I turned it into fake Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and it would be usually the Monday before Thanksgiving,
right.
I would have people over for dinner, which I just saw, you know how you get your memories from
yes.
the last few
yes.
years?
Mm-hmm.
Either, it must have been yesterday that it came up, of like all the people that came over for the fake Thanksgiving on a Monday, and I was like,
fun.
Oh, I need to get back into that game.
Yeah, no, it's super fun, and Sharon and I used to do it long before kids. We used to, and the rationale then was that everyone that we knew had families that they had to go to.
Right. So it was like a laid-back day to just kind of eat what you want.
I'm going to begin today using the hashtag 10 days of turkey.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. That's just
that's
what,
my dream.
What I'm, what
that's
I'm about
my dream.
To embark on.
Okay.
Starts today. So go to your calendar and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
So basically
tell
a week from Friday.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
10 days.
That is the acceptable time to run out of turkey in my mind.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. About
sometime
my birthday.
In early December, there should be nothing left to make turkey surprise out of.
Totally. About my birthday,
what's
you need to make
we're still
a new
eating
turkey
on December 4th. And I'm still happy about it.
That's the way to do it.
Absolutely.
Martin, what'd you do?
Honestly, I slept more in the last week than I think I've ever slept.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I think that
that's okay.
I was supposed to be in Michigan. Was sad that I wasn't able to do that, but that was apparently travel was frowned upon. That first week and some 9 days
and
later.
We're feeling good after it all?
Yeah, just really tired. Just, you know, like, it's weird.
Yeah, the body needs to heal and rest.
But it just doesn't feel like I'm supposed to be
but
tired.
But her punctuality is crazily
it's
improved.
Crazy.
Don't know.
I'm telling you. Just shit out that uterus, and all of a sudden, you're like, look at that. Look at her go. Look at her go.
That's what was in charge.
That
was in charge.
Dragging
tardiness.
Behind me the whole time.
Didn't realize that was such
that
a
cervix was
way in the
God. I'm telling you now.
Now she's sliding into
I'm
home
sliding
like crazy.
Wood. Look at that.
So wrong.
Way
so the wrong way to phrase that.
That's a good point. Yeah. Anyway, we'll rethink that. But yeah, no, I was. We had the photo shoot. That was very fun on Saturday.
No,
we missed
yeah,
you very much.
I just realized
that train was never leaving that
station.
Oh,
I know it.
I just realized that I set all the coffee mugs right there by the coffee thing, and you grab another one from the cabinet.
I was busy out there. If you're watching me,
I was watching.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
one's a nice one though. I
you're
like that one.
Well, it was a cunt mug that I set in there for him.
Oh, that's nice.
That's why there's only.
That,
right next to your Splenda or whatever the fuck else, I've got all the sweeteners there in that little thing for you. They're all there.
This is just black coffee with a coupe de ice, as they say
in
France.
Oh, coupe de
ice. I'm pretty sure that's not at all how they say it in France.
I'm sure a French person would stare at me baffled, like, bitch, what?
No, stop talking.
Yeah.
In Francois.
Come on, look it up.
Very much so.
Oh my God,
yeah,
so close.
You know, it really does.
It's a coupe. The glacé.
Oh, I just glacé.
Oh,
I knew that was
glacé.
Glacé, yeah.
Similar.
We got the cube.
Yeah. But yeah, just been watching a lot of TV, and when I'm not watching TV, just sleeping. So it's really, but we did it. We had the photo shoot, and like I said, that was very fun. And
it's always funny to me how quickly it happens. You forget, like it's like the big build up, and then you're done in like 15 shots. Like boom, 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 you're done.
Yeah, and the whole time I'm like, can I see each one of the delete? Delete, you know, but I didn't.
Fortunately, Scotty Kirby and Kevin Bouchard are both I've worked with enough. They know better. They, none of the shots you look like are going to ever show up anywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. No. Yeah. I'm hoping.
So it's cute, and
they're
going to.
A couple of them that I saw were really cute.
They're going to. They're going to use shots of you from a couple years ago and superimpose a Santa hat on you and put you in with us. That's what I was told.
Good. It'll be as if you were there.
From the time that I looked the worst ever in my life that I was photographed.
No, you looked adorable in that.
Oh, no, fine.
I told you that remains the day that when I was going to the gym and my friend looked at me and he goes, you look horrible. You need sleep, sun, and exercise, and you need it stat. And then I went and got my picture taken.
Oh,
and this was after a friend was like,
I do remember you.
It's fucking over. Like, you have got. And so it was this week of the work marathon of just crazy, crazy bullshit work. Luckily, I slept every day for like every second in between. So I haven't seen Sunshine or other people that weren't in scrubs in ages till today. Like, please cook me a turkey in 1 hour.
Right. Hurry up.
Well, I don't know the ingredients for eggnog. If you've never seen The Ref, there's a whole scene where the people in the front are fighting, but in the background is a woman in the grocery store screaming at the cashier about the fact that they don't have any eggnog on Christmas Eve. And the woman's trying to tell her, just go home and make eggnog. She's like, I don't know what's in eggnog. It's not the scene. It has nothing to do with what the point of the movie is.
That's just awesome.
I watch it just as a screaming match about the eggnog in the back.
What if I can find that?
Kills me.
I was just going to say, I wonder if
I might be able to find that scene. Also in the chair, Joe D is in there as well. Amina, hi there. So many people from all over the world listening to us.
And Amina saw Santa Claus in a mall. I saw his hideout last Wednesday before I went into the cave.
Hideout, okay.
I went to Fashion Square. I went to the mall last week to catch a movie, and we walked through Fashion Square. Oh, that's right. The Pope is going to Kenya. I think he's doing a tour of parts of Africa. I'm not sure.
Oh, fun.
Good old Frank. So, and I realized that I have been so oblivious to the world that I forgot that Christmas was coming. So I walked.
Akin to her party that's every year right after the Thursday of Thanksgiving.
I just have nothing. I don't get caught up in the season. Like, I'm not planning my Christmas list. I'm not thinking in terms of Christmas coming. It landed mid-November. Right. I was going to see a movie, walk through the mall, and I'm like, oh, Christmas decorations. Like,
oh, sure.
Oh, I'm like, that's appropriate.
About that time, and I realized,
but mid-November, I thought was perfectly appropriate to spot my first Christmas decorations of any sort or kind.
Agreed.
They were not piping in Christmas music.
That's nice.
Which I was surprised by.
Which came 5 minutes after you walked through that
passage.
And
then we found the little Santa area, but Santa now has a sign in with the elves have iPads and they're signing in and your screen comes up about what time it is. And then you walk into this little house. And we were like looking through the windows trying to find Santa. He is in lockdown.
I was saying, let
there
me
is
tell
no
you
seeing Santa unless you pay your money and do time with the iPad. Oh, yeah. You go through the elf or you don't see that
because
motherfucker.
You can
the Santa Union.
Right. Yeah, the Santa Union strictly forbid.
Because the Santa selfies were like dipping into his dough.
Yeah.
Because
if you can find Santa.
Position your kid just right and it'll look like he's sitting next to Santa. Done. And I just saved myself $45.
Gotcha.
And the time of, because that wait list, Santa's wait list, his other list, besides the naughty, nice,
the naughty
and not
nice,
wait
he
list.
Has a wait list.
You know what I found is really funny,
crazy
though?
Crazy fucking.
If you, like, Christmas Eve, there's no wait for Santa. It's fantastic. I've taken the kids several years.
That's the sad mommy that's completely out of the loop.
And Santa's wasted and smells like beer and cheese.
That's so sad. Like, what the fuck?
Santa want more milk and cookies? No, Santa's lactose intolerant. So unless you want to see him fart down the chimney, give him some scotch. Again, if you haven't seen The Ref, it's the best Christmas movie ever. Santa's a little lactose intolerant, so enough with the milk.
I was thinking of Bad Santa. Sorry.
Again, and that's my that's my Christmas movie combo, Bad Santa and The Ref, because it's more F-bombs than has ever been heard. I fucked her so hard she couldn't shit right for a week. It said like three times during Bad Santa. A line so nasty, they just said it three times. So that was it. So I broke out the Christmas CDs. So far, we only made it through Donna Summer and Vanessa Williams.
That's weird.
Which is the other thing on all my memories for this week, depending on like what day of the week it is. Every day this week, then one of the memories was broke out the Donna Summer and Vanessa Williams Christmas albums.
Right.
Starbright, for those that don't know.
It's time.
Because she has two. Second one, turkey. First one, phenomenal.
Second. First, same as the first.
I was so excited for the second Christmas album. I thought, she's going to fill me with the spirit. No. That didn't happen. I'm deeply interested in what you're saying, but I have to go turn the gravy off.
All right.
So the gravy. Tell your story about what you did this weekend.
Wait, you know, there's more gravy than what I acquired?
I wasn't sure who was in charge of gravy, so I made gravy.
Well, we got plenty of gravy, kids. Good to know. My gosh.
And it'll be great with the rolls.
Oh, my God.
See, for me, like a little butter on that. Now, the rolls. Bread with the rolls.
I made the comment earlier that I went to KFC and I got mashed potatoes and gravy because that's what I was in charge of, and cranberry sauce, which I have out there. Or it's in the fridge. Now, the one... You made the corn wonderful, whatever corn, the hell, all's in that.
It's really just heart attack.
Doesn't
corn.
Matter, but it's fantastic.
It's amazing. It.
And
it's
really Kat good. Carlson, in all of her efforts, she made homemade bread and made rolls. Mm-hmm. All and you couldn't tell, but to look at those look just like store bought. Like they're
that's so
perfect.
Nice to say.
They are. I did. That's why she fantastic. Went to hand me one, and I'm like, no, I'm fine. And then I went, oh wait, well, those
are. I make them.
Yeah,
they were made by
and
the
I
chimney with care.
To make a homemade pie.
Yeah, you did. Well, you did make one.
I did make one.
But
we don't.
The quality is yet to be determined.
Yes.
Is it pie? Does it have butter and sugar?
No. Here's the. No, it has
sugar.
Is
there no butter in that one?
There's no butter in that one.
Why?
I have no idea.
Different pie.
So here's what I tried to do.
A lot. Later.
So when what did you do this week? I can tell you before I got here. Fucking wore my ass out is what I did.
But, ran around the city looking for a goddamn turkey breast.
No, yeah, not that. I decided after listening last week that I was going to make opera cake, and that I was going to make a vinegar pie. And the vinegar pie, I knew that I had in my head
not
since
as appealing
last
as
year.
It, I think you think it sounds.
No, but last year she had said that was her favorite and her birthday's coming up and I thought, well, maybe we'll do that for Thanksgiving. That's why right away I said, desserts, I've got dessert.
Oh, okay.
Super nice.
Right away she said.
And right
I
away.
I did. I sent you the text.
Almost right instantly, if not sooner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I did. 10:03. Look it up. And so anyway, I go online and I have the recipes. Everything is really good except for if, just note to self and to everyone, please read the end of the recipe.
Make sure you're not making shepherd's pie with...
it was even worse than that.
With a trifle.
Meat, good. Damn good. Custard, good.
No, it's more about the little asterisk that says special things that you'll need to make this. I didn't know you had to like walk it and fucking pet it and babysit the goddamn thing in order to make it. I thought it said
the opera cake or the vinegar
hours.
Pie?
The opera cake.
Oh, yeah, because you got to harden that chocolate. That's a shell.
There's a whole lot of shit that you have to do. That it says 3.5 hours. So at 10 o'clock
plus
this morning.
Plus a day and a half to learn what the hell an opera cake is.
So at 10 o'clock this morning, I'm like, I got plenty of time. What the fuck is that? And what is that? I already had all the stuff. We bought it on Saturday. But I just didn't realize that you had to have a special pan and you had to, fuck it. I said, fuck it. So
I said, fuck it.
I was gone. Because,
you know, the French bakery's just up the street.
Yeah,
and you know what? They're so hard, they don't have them all the time.
Can I tell you a secret? Then I called the French bakery, and I got
opera
cake.
They laughed at her.
Hey!
Isn't it beautiful?
I brought opera cake.
Oh!
I brought little personal opera cakes.
That's all they are. They're always...
Yeah.
I think you can make a huge one, but I think that takes a kitchen the size of France.
It does.
Right, that's what she started and didn't realize it... Didn't have the counter space.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not
I can make any animal except for steaks. I don't have the counter space.
I don't have
space.
The counter space.
That's
another throwaway line.
Yes.
They said, we have them. I'm like, set those bitches to the side.
Oh, and isn't that
good.
The cutest fucking place
in the
place. World?
Yeah.
It's like drinking a Circle K.
Macaron?
It's like drinking
a Circle
K.
Well, it literally was a Circle K.
I know it was. Because that's where we ran and ducked for cover the night of the rainstorm.
The night of the famous storm.
God, that was a fun night. So much fucking fun.
Anyway,
and so that's the fun. And I used to say it back in the day when people would ask me, like, what do you drink? I'm like, kids, I don't give a shit. I'll drink in a fucking Circle K if you put a chair and a table there. And somebody thought,
well,
we know who we can lure in with
we
this.
We got one customer
so far.
Yeah,
got one customer. Who sure don't need fancy. And due to time constraints, I couldn't put socks and shoes on. So not that I was going to anyways.
Oh,
I've been socks and shoes.
Don't set our expectations too high for you, Alfie. Yeah. My God.
I did bathe.
Okay, whoa, ooh, pluses. All pluses.
That's a bonus.
I did one thing just today for you all. If you'll sniff your guards.
Already smelled.
I washed them all for you.
I wondered what that smell was.
Very nice. Yeah.
Kat even made the comment that they smelled lovely last time. So I freshened them up for you because I don't know what.
Thank you.
Only you use your individual microphones, but I didn't want something from last week to linger.
I have Jason.
Oh, that's right. Jason was in your spot,
which I don't mind.
There's
at
a little
all.
Smoky.
I think that's
there's a smoky air to
oh,
it.
Raspy.
So I had
but it's
I
Jason,
had a lava.
So it doesn't matter to me. That's lava.
A few decades ago. No, not that. Oh. A couple, few years ago.
But maybe this is still ago. Doing going oh. through your week.
No.
I was saying, that's kind of, that should be like above the fold.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll please, the nation will be on high alert if that happens again.
The security there so, will be way high.
There's a terrorist alert coming.
I can see that happening.
What color is that one?
She got a man in her bed again. So he would do this thing all the time where he would like cuddle and like be really like, lovey-dovey like at night when we went to bed. And finally, the one day, I'm like, you know, I'm like, you're hot. I'm like what's with this sudden like...
And I mean
cuddling thing. He's like, you smell really good. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm like, I don't like, it's like, I use handmade soaps. I don't wear colognes. I use powder secret. Nah. And he's like, all right, it's your dryer sheets. He's like, I just love cuddling with you because you always have a t-shirt on that smells like dryer sheets. I'm like, you want to fuck snuggle the fabrics off of her bear. That hard on is for a cartoon
it's for,
bear.
It's for a little fuzzy
we're
bear.
We're still using it, but I don't
well,
care
you don't
what
let
you
it go
I
to waste.
I don't know where you get your appetite as long as you eat here.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
That was the most bizarre pillow talk conversation I have ever been a part of.
And sadly, it was about a pillow.
Yeah. Screaming out,
really was.
Snuggle the fabric softener bear. Who I learned later would chew off his own paw to get away from that motherfucker.
Oh my
sometimes
God.
Sometimes you wonder. Sometimes you wonder where the show went off the rails. And sometimes you look around and go,
right away.
Right that, there.
There it is. There it is right there.
Tomo, to answer your question, there isn't anything lewd going on with the mics. It's just over time, after beverages and coffee, and we eat in the studio.
Sometimes I spit when I talk.
The mouth guard, the pop guard just need to be. Laundry.
Rinse, yeah.
So there we go.
Lather, rinse, repeat.
Yeah, well, you're right. Amina, she's like, LOL, Tomo, it's probably
I'm sure
alcohol.
Whatever I'm spitting is sanitizing the shit out of this. Especially back
for
in
now.
The vodka days.
Oh, sure. Oh yeah.
Mm, oh, yeah.
There's
remember
that.
Those good times?
Oh, my gosh.
Good days.
Good times and great old days.
I still love that fabric softener thing, though, because it was insulting, but I was like, I'll take it.
That means you do good laundry.
And I literally did, yeah.
I'm sure you did. Mm. Oh, my heavens. I'm not sure how we're going to stage out this going to get plates things, but I guess we're going to go later because we're doing headlines first, I'm sure.
Well, I feel like we always have a plan. There's some
oh,
time,
not,
but
not tonight. I don't think no. We have any plan.
I feel like we've always done it at a certain point that we go get dinner while they do a dance break or some shit.
Well,
I feel like we cannot make four plates in 30 seconds.
No. So one of us ignores the other three for a minute and goes and makes a plate.
So it's a normal
I'm pretty
night.
Sure that's kind of how it happens. Yeah.
I think it's become so routine we can't find a special holiday version.
Right, no, right. I liked how you put on your Facebook post in a very special episode.
Well, I told you a story about sex. That makes it a very special episode.
It
of
is
Lost.
A very special episode. I like
for,
it.
For Al's life, yes.
Yeah, I love that absolutely. I cut off before the sex happened. Because yeah. It's always funnier what we talked about first. My idea of dirty talk and other people's idea is never the
totally
same.
Totally different. Yeah. Guess...
Talk about Dexter till one of us gets hard. Okay.
All right.
And then you go home and watch porn because I want nothing to do with
it. In other news.
I'm only gay for political reasons, not for sex reasons anymore.
It seemed earlier in the day I had things to talk about, like what I had done all week, but now all of it escapes me. I don't really remember.
Is it because of the two wonderful kind stories that we've just heard?
I'm not sure, but
Al's former sex life.
I'm not sure, but somehow I don't remember. I don't remember doing much of anything all week. Is really all of a sudden what I've got.
It's been dead so long that fucker's decomposed. You got to go with the dental records to find out who those motherfuckers are.
Good thing it smells good.
Oh, heaven's sakes.
Snuggle the big air bear is at the American History Museum now. Oh, no. All right, so somebody go make your first plate. I'll do it because I got to slice that goddamn fucking turkey.
Oh, go hack up that turkey.
So you guys do your headlines, and I'll cut the turkey and take it out of the oven.
Headlines won't be the same without you, Al, but we'll get to
no,
we'll
I'm going to be back for that. Well, yeah, whatever.
For an actual story. Right.
Sure. For those of you wondering what the hell's going on, we don't know either, so stay with us. We'll be right back. Headlines are coming just moments from now, right here on Q-Talk America.
Carl!
You're listening to Q-Talk America.
And now, we dance. The Q-Talk America Radio Network.
Alrighty, kids, here we go. Look at headlines and the likes on Q-Talk America on this Tuesday night, the 24th of November. Save the drama for your mama.
3D can make you pregnant.
One man's sweet revenge.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck is still a cunt.
She cries at everything. Unrelated. Unrelated.
Yep. Fuck that bitch.
Texts from beyond.
Bette Midler and Caitlyn Jenner go at it.
Also, we thought she was dead, but look at her, alive and well. These and more things coming at you on Q-Talk America. So you thought we were going to be overlapped?
There are a couple of other ones that I left out.
Now, at times, what we read, then we find out later that we're overlapping, but we'll find out. Well, this one, where's my sheet? I have a read-along that goes with it. A drama teacher has delivered the perfect lesson to a mother who won't allow him to teach her child simply because he is gay. Michael Neri, 26, from Kidderminster, England, received a text from a woman who said that she would be pulling her child from his classes because of his, quote, lifestyle. She then asked him to give back her deposit. Well, now, sadly for her, things did not go as she had requested. Now, here is the text to her. Hi, Michael. Following our chat this week, I've decided that my son and his brother will not be attending class on Monday. You have a strong reputation for performing arts, which encouraged me to sign my children up for your classes. However, I have recently learned of your lifestyle, and as a Christian, I cannot allow my children to be influenced by unconventional ideas. It is our belief that a man should marry a woman. I look forward to receiving my deposit, which you may post to me via check, which I'm assuming is an online financial portal. Well, Michael sent a text back.
Oh, good.
What was her name?
Was it full of snark and shade?
maybe.
Shade.
It doesn't have name. It says,
what's her name?
His response.
That's what the drag queens call it.
His response reads as follows. I would be lying if I said I was disappointed to hear this. I pride my students on the respect and love that they have for others, their passions for equality. You would only be infringing on our family. As far as I'm aware, my sexuality doesn't affect my ability to teach, just like it wouldn't affect a doctor's ability to treat one of your children should they become unwell. I'm sure your children's health would come first should they need emergency treatment, or would you need to check their doctor's lifestyle prior to their life-saving operation? I wish you luck in finding an appropriate stage school that meets your needs. However, from experience, I find that theater without gays is just like cooking without spices. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. I hear Stagecoach are enrolling, but their teachers have been known to wear mixed fabrics, which I'm sure you are aware is forbidden in the Bible, Leviticus 19:19. Please feel free to come see our musical Happy Days. Confetti will be used in the finale, but please rest assured, it's not an attempt to corrupt your Christian lifestyle. We just love glitter. Unfortunately, deposits are non-refundable, but don't worry. Your deposit has been donated to Stonewall, an LGBT charity. Regards, Michael, drama coach.
Theater without gays.
Stop it.
It's like cooking without spice.
To think, right?
Oh, my God.
It's like cooking without food or a stove. Come on.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Just stop all that glitter.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
All right, she's buns. Reading. Go get a plate.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I put your buns in the oven.
Thank you.
All right, then.
They're ample buns.
Apparently.
Ample.
Mm-hmm. Al, you might know this. Mm-hmm. A 3D movie can make you pregnant.
If you're doing it right.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently. According to a white American couple that had a black baby. The woman claimed that she had become pregnant watching a 3D porno film. The child's father, Eric Johnson, was a soldier and had been away for a year.
No.
He was serving in a military base in Iraq, and on his return, he found the black baby at home. Well, his wife, Jennifer Stewart, 38, told him that the baby had been conceived while she had been watching a 3D porno film. Duh.
I need to get me one of these 3D porno films if that's...
For real.
If that's even remotely possible.
Only if you smell good. I see no reason not to believe her, Eric said, as these 3D films are very lifelike.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
With the technology... I think that something so happened
now we got
in Iraq.
Now we got two dummies.
The technology of today, everything's possible, said Eric, who registered the baby as his. Jennifer said that she had gone to a porno cinema in New York with her girlfriends. She had only gone this one time. You know, to see how a porno looked with the 3D effects.
Only takes once, yeah.
The child, she claimed, looked exactly like the black male in the lead, who was the lead in the film.
That's just racist.
A month after watching this film, she found out she was pregnant. The silliest thing I say. I mean,
the hell you
was every now. Did everybody get pregnant from the money shot, or did it was it just aimed
just
at her?
Just her.
She just had the best seat in the house.
Yep, she was right there. I'm gonna sue the cinema. And producer, she said. Luckily, my husband believes me. It could have wrecked my marriage.
Damn near killed him.
But he knows that I'm faithful to him.
I can only find one stupid person in that. Because she's smart. Her boyfriend was stupid.
Was dumb enough to buy into this. You know.
Straight out of Compton. That's good. I pity the fool.
Way to go, Amina.
I pity the fool. So, yeah, I agree. And there are some, you can see the...
I did.
A little grainy, but you can, it's black, and that's why. No,
it's a child. That's not an it.
Oh, my bad.
He or she.
The black.
If you will.
However... It identifies. I didn't want to be rude.
I feel like it is always rude when referring to a person.
No.
However,
it's a
they
small child.
They. Yeah,
what if you
child?
I always call it small child. Knit.
Yeah,
I always.
It's
do.
Just fair.
That's weird.
I don't care. Right. I mean, it's a kid.
We want to make the mistake. Of,
not an adult.
And
I know,
people wonder why
kids.
Y'all know.
Because then there'll be some kind
children.
Of gender assignment problem later when you give it a here.
When they get older, I like them, but not like that little thing.
And I've always loved Barbara Walters when she says what she says when she sees an ugly baby. That's a baby. Because she doesn't want to lie.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
Look at that baby.
We had an issue with that with friends that had a small child that was interesting.
Jesus, that was exhausting.
And,
interesting.
Interesting.
Oh, your baby's interesting.
We weren't able, we didn't know what to say.
One? This? This is the corn stuff that she made that I've, it's well, over by the microwave, and then I got out the cranberry sauce too.
Do I need to heat that back up? Heat it up more?
The potatoes need to be gently warmed.
Well, then warm them. Knock yourself out, people. Okay.
Totally.
Totes. All right, lesbians number one or two, go.
You're closer to the door, go.
Hit it.
Continuing on with our lovely headline segment.
Take this and put some of that corn shit on there.
There's also green beans.
Are we still having sex life
Maybe
flashbacks?
More, yeah, exactly. Maybe more stuffing.
A California man sent 20 dozen coconut donuts to police officers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison as payback for getting kicked out of a Badger football game. The man traveled from L.A. to see the Badgers play Northwestern at Camp Randall Stadium on Saturday. He was assigned a seat in the student section away from his friends, so when he tried to join his friends, officers subsequently threw him out.
Oh, whoops.
UW-Madison police spokesman Mark Lovicott said this on Tuesday. Now, come on Monday, 240 coconut donuts mysteriously appeared at police headquarters. The delivery driver gave the officer the man's name, and Lovicott tracked down an email address and began corresponding with him. This was meant as a harmless way to show both general gratitude for the job that you do, meaning what the police do, which is awesome, but slight disdain for my treatment last Saturday, which was not awesome. And the man wrote, according to Lovicott, the man also wrote, donuts are awesome, but coconut donuts are not so awesome. Lavacat declined to release the man's identity because he wasn't arrested and the agency wanted to respect his wishes to remain anonymous. The man refused to give his name to the Associated Press as well. It wasn't clear exactly what transpired between the man and the officers at the game. However, he was asked if the man was drunk. Lavacat answered by saying he wasn't belligerent and was respectful, calling the incident an unfortunate misunderstanding. An
unfortunate series of events.
It was a teachable moment, he said. If we knew more about his circumstances, we would have done things a little differently to get him with his group. So clearly something went on that we're not ever going to really know about. Lavacat didn't immediately respond to an open records request for the man's name and copies of the emails. However, the donuts were donated to a local food shelter at a Salvation Army.
Get him the sugar beet. Even cops are like, I'm not eating coconut donuts.
Are you kidding me? What the hell? Not a chance.
Oh, you know what's fantastic and uber fattening? Those peanut-covered donuts. Oh, my God.
I've not had them.
Oh, you never? I think they had to stop making them because of, like, children dying of allergies around them.
Oh, well.
Because it kind of contaminates the entire place. But you take your donut and you put the glaze or whatever it is on it, and then you dip it in, like, crushed peanuts, and then you let it cool so it's sugary and peanutty and...
I hear nothing wrong with this story.
No, they're fantastic. but by the looks on your face, I think... Well, I'm sure Dunkin' Donuts had to stop because it would shut down anyone with a peanut allergy coming into Dunkin' Donuts because that shit gets everywhere.
What that sounds like, there's a donut, and I think they're in L.A. I know they're in Denver because that's where I experienced them for the first time. Voodoo Donuts.
Ooh.
It's insane. They're 24 hours. They have lines out the door, but they're all these crazy custom donuts. And
the inventors of the Cronut.
Is that what it was?
No. The croissant / donut.
I still haven't had one of those, and I feel like it's calling me. But out here, it's
the... Hello?
You know, like, combined pastries are always calling
me. Yeah, exactly. Whenever you have a hybrid of two pastries. Yeah. Is it the fractured prune out here?
I've not heard of it.
Is the donut shop that makes them all by hand, and you custom make them, and you order your donuts. You could be there for a long time.
Sounds like a geriatric orthopedic clinic.
Oh, they are spectacular. We had a donut off at work. A couple months ago. So we bought rainbow donuts, Krispy Kreme donuts, Bossa donuts, and somebody brought fractured prune. I think that's what it's called. And we had a donut festival. Let me tell you, we were running around like crazy people because we were on such a sugar high. People got care they'd never even dreamed of before.
Do I have to pay extra for this? No, you don't.
No.
What do you need? You need something flush? You need a film? Do you need a draw?
What do you need? What are we watching?
Dry it, wet it, drain it. What are we doing? Chicken, they're fast enough! I have just a slice of chicken for some protein and dry the soap shit up?
Oh, my gosh. Drink your water. Drink your water. Oh, I hear Marnie. Marnie approacheth. What is she?
No, she was talking to Michael.
Oh, she sounds closer than that. I don't know why. I guess I could look at the... Oh, she's in the kitchen. I can tell by the kitchen cam.
Psychic senses.
Look at you. Where's my little...
You're so good at this. So go do your next story.
Oh, we'll do the next one. Okay, well... That's a
good plan. You'll never eat that food.
Actually, I think, Tomo, if you're still listening, you've probably heard of this story. A man who insists his wife cries at anything has put together a hilarious and heartwarming list that will have anyone in a relationship thinking about the goofy things that they have brought their significant other to tears over the years. I believe this is from Australia. I'm sorry, Australia, not New Zealand. My bad. But still, you might have heard of it. He put a list and posted online, reasons my wife is crying. Number one on the list, she found out swans can be gay and thought it was really nice. She was hungover and then saw a picture of a piglet.
That's legit.
Another reason she cried, I waited until it was dark and pretended to be Babadook, which is a Canadian horror film character.
Yeah, it's fantastic. that made her cry out of what? Terror, joy, love, sorrow? Cry.
After watching a documentary on TV when the fluffy bunny escaped the Arctic fox, she cried. There were no biscuits in the house.
Oh, yeah, that's tears.
Reason to cry.
Right.
Reason to cry.
I got all this gravy. Where's my fucking biscuit?
No fucking biscuits.
Later, she remembered swans can be gay. Cried again. She also cried. I tried to hold her hand when she wasn't expecting it. Cried again. I cooked dinner for her after a long day. And then finally on the list, she watched a video about a dog.
Who was gay? With a swan.
Well, maybe okay. With a swan, right.
This is actually from a comedy writer based out of London.
Oh, is London? Funny, when I read it, it was something about Australia.
Yeah, I don't know. Huffington Post has him out of London.
Okay.
They're all the Queen's territory.
And they have been married. He's reasonably newlywed still. They've been married about a year.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
And so he, you know, for he's social media and everything, he decided for a month he was going to write down everything that made his young, beautiful wife cry.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And hilarity ensued.
There it is. Hilarity.
The best part is we had at work, we had a respiratory therapist that was pregnant. And we only, you know, we don't interact with them completely, but there's this... They're a married couple. They're both straight and with men and have children. But at work, everyone thought they were lesbians because they're always together. They finish each other's sentences. They're the best work wives ever. So when the what was that song by Macklemore that came out? The same sex song? Mm-hmm. The when I was young, I like to draw and do all this stuff, so sure. I thought I was gay.
You're making all the right sounds.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. But
the video is quite moving, too. Mm-hmm. And so this respiratory therapist, she was making us watch it, and she would just sob as she watched it because it was so beautiful, and she loved the whole premise behind it. So we say to her work wife Renee,
was it called Same Love?
Yeah, Same Love.
Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the video was quite moving. We weren't moved to tears, but we were all kind of moved. But she was sobbing, so we're like, "Oh my god, that's so nice that Lisa's coming around." And she's like, "I cannot take that pregnant bitch another minute." All she does is sit in the respiratory therapist room and watch that video and sob. She's like, "I want to have a conversation. All I'm getting back is snot bubbles."
Oh.
She's coming to find all of you for someone to cry with. I was like,
"Oh my!
What a funny way to turn that around." Like, we think she's coming to like. Everyone just shared this beautiful story, but she's being kicked out of her workstation because no one can stand her cry there anymore. Go cry at somebody else's workstation.
You've cried here enough, honey. Move it on. I'm buying it. Put some Michelle Pfeiffer into it.
And her work wife was so funny because her kids are like 8, 10, and 14 or something. So she's way past the pregnancy phase.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, I can't take any more of the pregnant woman's emotions. I'm done. But what started off as this charming story about Same Love turned into the two work wives at two different places in their, like, cycles.
I don't have to deal with that a lot. Things like that in my workplace.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a lot of people show up at my house.
The women are only here on Tuesdays.
True. Well, Tammy...
And don't need to deal with me anymore.
Tammy was here earlier. She's still a woman. I better think she was here.
Who was here?
Tammy.
Oh, okay.
Tammy Bobst was here earlier.
Is she part of their catch and release program?
No, she's part of our Edge Studios family. Not a catch and release.
Well, apparently last week it was pointed out that I'm the Oprah of the word cunt. Is that correct?
I think that's true.
Yes.
I don't remember how we got to Oprah, but sure.
Well, I believe that was Kat. Mm. That said that it was that I'm like, huh? Yeah. That's fine.
I remember now.
No, I like it. I liked it a lot. That was very funny.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for me. I liked it. So that was very funny to me. But I have to use the word just because it's appropriate. Elizabeth Hasselbeck is a cunt.
Cunt.
Like, there's really no two ways about it, and there's no other word.
She passed from someone I would almost defend to cunt a while ago.
Yeah?
A while ago. Not a doctor.
She can't even take Fox News anymore. She's out of there. And now, while the report is that she's leaving to spend time with her family, apparently that's
usually a cover-up. You have a 3-hour-a-day day job. Shut the fuck up. Right.
That's usually some kind of cover-up for, I'm being pushed out.
Yeah.
Code for I've got to go.
You work 15 hours a
week. I can't say anything bad about these wackos.
Well, what was the story when she left The View? Was there a story similar or no? I don't remember.
No, they were it was done. Her and Rosie, and they were done with her stint on there. And
no, her contract was up, and they got rid of her and Joy Behar in the same year. Because, remember, politics isn't sexy in an off year. So
if it's not an
no one could figure. And I love when people, they do this every 4 years. Mm-hmm. No one can figure out why your ratings aren't as high on the year after a presidential election.
Sure. Right.
Well, the nation has stopped caring about politics. They want a break.
Mm-hmm.
So they got rid of her, and they brought Joy Behar back because they're like, well, we're amping up again, and we have only stupid people on the panel. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to invite the presidential candidates back. We need someone that can ask a question. And it's certainly not going to be Raven Simone.
No, God, no. Continue on, yeah. Ms. Ryer.
Oh. Well, according to a press release from the lovely, might throw up my food, Ms. Hasselbeck, throughout my 14 years working in television, I've never experienced a more positive or thoughtful atmosphere.
Jesus.
They're a better place
Fox
for women.
News. Thanks to the strong leadership of Roger Ailes.
Oh, my God.
Who has created the best working environment a woman and mother could ask
for. As long as you're white.
Maybe. Right.
No, but I mean, The View was so set up for women.
Yeah,
it's a show, really, like, by women, for women. Like, they had nurseries in the back. The guests bring their kids. Like, that place is set up for a working woman.
Sure.
Absolutely.
They make sure. So to say that, like, Fox and Friends that acts like daycare is communism, I doubt that shit.
Yeah, it's a little too much. One would think that after so many years on The View, spreading her right-wing nonsense, the relationship between the two would have been a match made in heaven that would continue forever. But something was pulling her away. Maybe it really is family obligations. Maybe she's being forced into a decision to put her family before her career.
Maybe she's knocked up again and doesn't want to do it on
tired.
TV this
maybe
time.
Maybe she's just a cunt. Who knows? Maybe she wants to dye her hair brown. Who knows? Either way.
No, she dyes her hair blonde.
That's true. Either way, as much as we would all like to rejoice in another fake journalist career being devoured by the evil that is Fox News, they will likely replace her with another idiot to regurgitate their talking points.
Who will have to be blonde.
Mm-hmm. They'll like the gray hairs that way. When one is plucked, more grow in. Good riddance to bad rubbish.
No,
I mean, it's
I'm going to play
ridiculous.
Devil's advocate for just a second. In regards to this. And Al, because you know her far better than I do.
Sarah Palin. Right. I could see if you were campaigning for John McCain, war hero, longtime senator, lots of experience.
No.
It's a perfectly appropriate person to campaign for and believe he was the right thing.
Totally.
But when you jump on the Alaska moose shooter, things are not going your way.
Not okay. Hashtag.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
Well, and you have to wonder where she's going to pop up.
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see which side of crazy she kind of lands on when she does mm-hmm. pop back up.
Right.
Cuz you're right, we've seen her on The View and we've seen her be, "Yeah, all right, I don't really agree with you and I can understand, you mm-hmm. know, some of the arguments that were had with her." But okay.
She got her cunt medals there because she really did buy she was the one that was like, she was ready to fight with the troops in Iraq. Yeah. She was just crazy about that.
Yeah.
I don't think she had kids at the time. And then the second time she was nuts, really fucking nuts, was Obama. But it was the same guy with the same group. The Swift Boaters were back. And they did something. And because someone quickly made the connection that, like, oh, these are the Swift Boaters.
Oh.
Like, they didn't even change people. They were still in the same clothes. They just were like, let's go back in the studio with those same props. And everyone was like, well, that's shut down. And then everyone had to apologize, like, oh, my God, that was a fake group. Like, none of those people actually served with him.
Right.
That was a Karl Rove ploy like, let's call it the Swift Boaters. It was craziness. But she bought that hook, line, and sinker. And when it came time for the re-election, I think she was one of the people that was like, my apologies to John Kerry. It turns out that story that I believed. But the internet was newish.
True. Right. Sure.
You believed everything you read.
Right. Blame Al Gore.
Blame somebody. All right, kids, we are in the middle of our pre-Thanksgiving show, so excuse us for eating on the air. We dedicate this to Molly Montgomery, who just loves it when we eat on the air. We'll be going back for more in just mere moments. Coming up, our drinking word. We have two more fun hours of love and tenderness heading your way on this Tuesday night. You're in studio, C, with Q Talk America. I am Clayton McKee, alongside Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. We're coming right back with our drinking word and so much more. Stay with us, won't you?
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee
And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, hi, diddly ho, neighbor. It is a little bit after 8 o'clock on this, a Tuesday night. This is Studio C. I'm Clayton McKee, alongside with all of our cast. We get together every Tuesday night from 7 to 10. Whew, it's a good time each and every week. We're talking about all kinds of stuff, and this is our pre-Thanksgiving show. I think this is our third year, isn't it, for doing this?
I think so.
Because I think we've done it every year.
We have.
Right? Mm-hmm. I think so. Good times. So, the only problem is the kitchen's a little further away this year than last.
Yeah.
That's all.
A little bit.
It's all right. It's all right. We'll somehow get through
it. We're able to walk it up.
Yeah. So, it makes you feel better, doesn't it? Yeah. Because you're walking it off.
It's good.
Yeah.
It sure, we'll sell it that way. I don't really care. It makes sense to me.
It makes me super sad that I forgot to put some of that corn stuff on my plate.
Oh, but you can go back. You'll get there. Trust.
I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh.
It's worth the, it's worth the
corn
walk back.
Stuff. Give me
it's worth the walk back to the kitchen, I assure you.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know. Oh, I know.
All right, kids. Again, beginning of hour two, we do it each and every week like this. So here we go. It's Al's little drinking disclaimer. And it goes something like this.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
I was going with shenanigans.
Oh!
Shenanigans! Oh, very nice.
We're going to have shenanigans on this Tuesday.
It's easy and cheap, like me.
Wow. Well, admitting you have a problem is the first step to recover.
Unless you don't particularly feel like
that. It's a problem. Yeah, what if I don't find it to be a problem?
I'm glad you figured it out.
What is it, 4 out of 5 people have a problem with? What about that fifth person?
Yeah.
They enjoy it.
What is that fifth dentist finally going to cave about fucking gum?
About those gum diseases, yes. Okay, well, in this season of things we're thankful for, I found this little story, and I thought it was a touching story, and it kind of restores some... When you have no faith in the humanity, the human
good work,
race.
Pamela, good work.
God, what the fuck words am I trying to use? Use your words! As a teenager, Taylor Thiefault was exceptional. His ambition and passion led him to make a list of 25 future goals when he was in high school, and a few of them were, join the army and be the best that he can be.
Oh. Sure.
He wanted to go bungee jumping. He wanted to get married. He wanted to buy an English bulldog and name him Diesel. Mm. He wanted to do what Al's done. He wanted to swim with sharks. Al's done that. He also wanted to visit Hawaii, which oddly would make you able to swim with sharks.
Shit with sharks, yeah.
He wanted to save a life.
Same activity.
I bet.
Same cage.
He wanted to buy a truck. He wanted to wrestle an alligator. And the list goes on and on and on of all the different things that he wanted to do. Thiefault didn't dream about becoming rich or buying a mansion. Thiefault's mom, Carol Adler, knew about all of those dreams, and she knew that he was capable of accomplishing all of them. They were extremely close, he and his mom. But at the time, Thiefault was 21 years old. He was already an Army veteran and in his final stages of cadet training in the Colorado State Patrol. On May 23rd of this year, Thiefault was on assignment with the trooper, with Trooper Clinton Rushing, on a crash investigation on a Colorado highway near Weld County when they were warned about a high-speed police chase coming their way. They deployed stop sticks and in an attempt to stop the suspect. The driver missed the stop sticks, crashed into both men, and then they were rushed, both critically injured, rushed to the scene. Thiefault actually died at the scene before they could transport him.
This is a Christmas story.
Stand by. Right. Stand by. Bear with me.
All right. Shenanigans.
According to his mom, if you asked him, he'd do it again because he sacrificed himself for someone else. Often, he lived out his dream of wanting to be a cop, and he that's what he wanted to do. So after a few weeks, his mother felt the need to text him. So she, in her phone, then would just send one-way text to his number. And for several weeks, she did that until one night, a text came back.
Oh, no.
And the text came back from a guy named Sergeant Kel Hulsey from Greenlee Police Department, who got a new phone over the summer and was seeing all the texts. And I thought they were going to the wrong number, and he ignored him until the one night when he responded to her. He sent back a text identifying himself and said, "I'm with the Greenlee Police Department, and I don't think the texts are going to who you think they are." Well, seconds later, she responded to him and found out that, oddly, these texts were going to a police officer, which was just what her son had wanted to be. Aww. There was no connection. However, over the time, he knew of her son's death. They became friends, and over the time, they keep texting back and forth. So it gives her mom hope, and thinks that it's somehow her son is living on within the other trooper. Like, his dream lived on. He got to do what he wanted to do. But it keeps her... it just kind of keeps a warmth in her heart for the fact that she gets to send texts to, in her phone, her son.
Now, did she have the wrong number, or
no.
Did he get that? Did
he was assigned a number, and immediately, when she reached out to him, he immediately offered to get a different number, and she requested that he keep it.
Hmm. Okay.
Because it was just, again, it was he was an officer.
I feel like she's going to give birth to a black baby at some point.
Doesn't say anything about an officer
3D
being black.
Movie theater.
Doesn't say anything.
A 3D movie.
No,
3D
but the movie might be.
Occasionally, she will text the officer reminding him to be safe and ask how he's doing. Her son, obviously, her late son, obviously their only connection. In May of this year, Thiefault's name will be added to the National Memorial of Fallen Officers. His mom will be there to honor his life and celebrate his many accomplishments, including that goal of saving a life. I'm not sure exactly where that was in the story, but apparently he saved a life somehow.
Maybe the other officer lived.
Maybe it is.
Maybe during that whole shenanigans of the high
speed
chase.
Jumped him out of the way.
Yeah.
Something. But anyway.
We can add to it.
These shenanigans will not harm you.
These shenanigans.
You shall live through this high speed shenanigans.
Shenanigans are afoot. Get out of the way.
I like it. I like it.
A dramatic reenactment by Kat Carlson.
Yeah.
Ooh, it was lovely.
Welcome to it.
Not quite crime scene footage, but it was nice.
Fuck that bitch.
We're still workshopping it.
Fuck that bitch.
All right, let's do it.
I certainly don't mean the mother that Clayton was just reading.
Yeah, okay.
I feel that like might have been a bad one. Like,
this is funny.
That was a terrible segue.
Might have been a bad segue.
I'm really good at segues. That was a terrible
accident. That was completely on purpose.
But it was fun. So
it was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay. All right. Fuck that bitch.
Oh,
completely
no.
On purpose. Not that mom. A gentleman named Fuck That Bitch.
Oh, I saw this.
Wants Facebook to know that, yes, it is his real name. Fuck That Bitch. I don't know. I'm going with it.
I feel like I
would
got
like
more
it to be an accent.
Is he Thai?
Fuck That Bitch.
Is that the right word? Do you call them Thai, or is that just their food?
I believe that's their...
Okay.
I do understand you don't call them Oriental. You do not do that.
No, okay. No. That's a rug.
Oriental, no, that's right. Correct. Not so good.
He is not a 12-year-old spelling an insult with Fuck That Bitch. He's a 23-year-old Vietnamese-Australian who asserts... He had his Facebook profile shut down multiple times over accusations that he was using a fake name. To prove his namesake to the world, he shared an image of his passport online. Originally posted in January, the photo surged in popularity online this week with more than 128,000 likes. Fuck that bitch. I find it highly irritating, he says, the fact that nobody seems to believe me when I say that my full legal name is how you see it. I've been accused of using a false and misleading name, of which I find very offensive. Is it because I'm Asian? Is it?
A little bit.
Having my Facebook shut down multiple times and forced to change my name to my, quote, real name. So just to put it out there, my name, yours sincerely, Fuck That Bitch.
I mean, something's just, well, like whenever someone says they traveled to Phuket.
Sure.
Isn't that what it's called in Thailand?
I just happen to have the picture, if you'd like, for our viewing audience. There is actually a copy of his passport.
There you go. Yep.
Up on.
Isn't that great?
There he is.
That poor guy.
It really is.
I mean, with traveling being not the easiest thing anymore anyway, and then you have...
ever in roll call, you know, where it's like, you say, they call your last
bitch
name.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Bitch, fucked that. Bitch, fucked that.
Here.
That's how he's called alphabetically.
Present. Bitch.
Here.
What'd you call me?
Exactly. Wouldn't it be bad, like, if you had to say your first name back? Fuck that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Call it bitch. Fuck that.
Fuck that.
It turns into a who's on first Asian version.
No, he's our shortstop.
He's a Vietnamese Australian.
Australian version, right?
Yeah.
All the shenanigans of that would be
the shenanigans of it.
My God.
Asia adjacent.
So I wonder if when he changed his name to his quote real name, if maybe he did like, what, Tom Smith or something?
Don't know.
I don't know. It doesn't say in here, but.
Or then you find out that Tom Smith in Chinese means fuck that bitch.
Right. Very good. You know, the interesting piece of this was because but a year or two ago, when friends of ours had issue because of being drag queens.
Oh, yeah.
And not being able to use their drag names.
Oh, right.
That's and when that, Barbara that, became Bob-ra.
That's right. And this is the controversy of this is that the rule for Facebook requires users to go by their authentic name. So now you have this guy who's going by his authentic name.
His real name. Right.
And then, I mean, what are they, Donald Trump you and ask for a birth certificate? Like,
well, I believe that they can.
Once again, it's I believe fuck that bitch.
Fuck that bitch.
If nothing else, if someone called me and said you need to provide some, fuck that bitch. That's what I'd say. That would be my part in the shenanigans.
Vietnamese me, Australian have, shenanigans.
Do you have the bish file?
Yeah.
Which file? Fuck that bish.
Fuck that bitch.
Well, years.
That is funny to me.
15, 16 years ago, my dear friend Renee and his family that kind of adopted me, his sister was getting married, and she lived in D.C. at the time, but she was getting married back here.
Put coffee in my mouth because yeah. I don't know what you're going to say.
So we were all trying to help and do things that took place. She was part of the Clinton administration. She was worked for the Department of Transportation in the Clinton administration. She was a lawyer for them, and she was getting married back here. This is where she's from. So I was to go with a video camera and videotape a couple different venues and send them to her and ask questions and do like a video tour, like we would now do with an iPhone and walk through.
Right.
But back then it was kind of fancy. And so I was like, well, you know, what's the name of the thing? And she's, you know, Chavez, bitch. And I was like, wait, Maria, what did you say? She's like, bitch. And I'm like,
bish.
Okay, you got to say it one more time. She's like, she's not taking this name, but it's bish. It was B-I-S-C-H. But you had a little Mexican accent to it, and you had everything else going
Maria
on.
Maria bish.
And it was Ana Maria, bitch. I mean, it was just...
Oh, no. Maria Chavez, bitch. If it was hyphenated.
Ana Maria Chavez, bitch. Oh. So, and it's so funny. So even now, she very rarely adds the last. She still goes by Ana Maria Chavez. I don't know. The Maria
I would,
came,
too.
But yeah. it was just... And I'm, like, laying in bed, like, listening to Maria talk. And I'm like, oh, where am I going? I'm like, say that again. Let me get a pen and paper so I don't mispronounce
it. Could you spell that for me, please?
Well, do you remember when there was the Burger King wedding?
Yes.
Remember? I mean, like, there are a lot of times where there can be a funny
play on words.
Right.
Late night TV gets those all the time.
Uh-huh. A lot. Right. Leno used to have those on all the time. But with this, God, that would drive me
crazy. Yeah, you're right. Leno used to always have that.
Always fun.
The fat lover wedding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hung bear wedding.
Yeah.
You know, like, good morning. Yeah.
We got out back. We got
our Mrs. Hung bear.
Oh. I mean, but it was always something crazy, and that would just be awful to
marry a beast. That's
like,
right.
God damn it, Mom, Dad.
Oh my audio. What happened to the audio?
I think Anant. Oh, he wasn't on the YouTubes.
No, he's an audio only guy because I think he's doing it by secret.
Oh, wait a minute! You're right. My bad. When we lost internet, I completely spaced it.
Boot it back up.
We're back on, so it'll cut over in 2 seconds.
He won't know that because
I like that you're pointing at him.
Yeah, we're pointing. I'm pointing at
the name. Point at the name. All right, wrapping up. Last story in our headline segment. Zhao Yun had been missing since 2005.
Fuck that bitch's cousin.
Sure.
Had been missing since 2005, and her family presumed that she was dead. But she'd been living in different internet cafes in a nearby city since she left her home in the eastern Chinese city of Hengdian at age 14 after a heated argument with her mother. Now she's 24 years old. The 24-year-old hugged her mom in an emotional reunion with her parents over the weekend after she was found about 100 miles from her family's home in an internet cafe. Her loved ones believed that she had died because she had remained under the radar for a decade. But with but her whereabouts were finally discovered on Friday after a cop caught her using a fake ID in an internet cafe. During questioning, Zhao Yan reportedly confessed she had lived inside several different cafes ever since leaving home 10 years ago. Oh. She claimed she'd occasionally worked in the cafes for cash, but mainly relied on food handouts from strangers and spent her days playing online video games, according to the local paper. Zhao Yan initially refused to meet with her parents, but police officers eventually contacted them, and the family was reunited over this past weekend. Quote, I have a stubborn personality and a short temper, so I used to scold her, but it's been 10 years now and she's an adult. I will never scold her again, her mom said. Fuck that bitch!
Yeah.
Fuck that bitch! According to the local newspaper, police fined Zhao Yan $156 over the use of a fake ID. 10 years!
Well worth it, $156.
You decide to live on the lam in internet cafes all over the city for 10 years?
I've never even been to an internet cafe. And you could live there for 10 years?
It's a coffee shop.
You've been to an internet cafe. It's called Starbucks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like, it's pretty much the same.
Except for some places in the world, they instead of making you pay for all the coffee, they make you pay for all the internet.
Oh, it's fair.
And perhaps additionally the coffee, but probably less for coffee.
Maybe it's marked up.
You can only pull that off in China. It right. sounds reasonable.
Yes.
Because that would be something.
Sure.
Well, Nero wants to spend the next 10 years playing video games because she just got an Xbox. I don't know if you guys
brand
saw
new,
that.
Yeah, an Xbox One.
Yep.
Oh. And apparently there's some sort of postal strike.
I know, I read that. So that was interesting. And I was like,
no,
so
nothing.
She said that she was able to get it through, even with the postal strike.
No.
The Netherlands, yes?
Netherlands, I don't have my list. I believe, Finland. Yeah.
Oh, no, I've got the list in the other room because I meant to type it up and I forgot to type it.
I wondered what you were looking for.
Yeah, but she doesn't have any games yet.
Head was swiveling like a bobblehead. Yeah. What are you looking for
this
there,
one's Al? Up to shenanigans.
Right. Oh, heaven's sake. So I think
just
it's
just... to listen to this crap.
That's a fair assessment.
Thank you, Annette. That feels accurate to me.
We love you too. Fuck that bitch.
Fuck that bitch.
Do you have your interwebs pulled up on your iPad there, yeah, Alfie? You think you're gonna make you can make magic?
Oh wait, are you?
Is it your turn?
We're good.
Oh well, I think it's your
my
turn.
My stars. Well, my heavens.
heavens to Murgatroyd.
You think you're gonna pull it off, Alfie?
Sure.
Here we go.
Entertainment. I know you're on the right page. Well, things happened.
Sure did.
We had a mystery solved on The Walking Dead. Sleepy Hollow moves to Fridays. One of my stories got used up there. Adele sets new sales records. And the rest we're just going to kind of figure out as we go.
Okay. So it's a normal week for you.
Yeah. I was busy getting that fucking turkey cooked at Fry's.
No, you were.
I was busy working the ovens at Fry's.
Yeah.
Working the ovens. Okay. Most offensive, funniest joke ever. Hey, my uncle died at the prison camps in Germany. I mean, he fell out of the guard tower, but he died there.
Wow. Marnie about shot something out of her nose.
Is that the most offensive, funny joke ever?
We've lost all the guards.
Vanilla
now.
Cream in your nose.
Oh,
lovely. Oh, my God. That's terrifying. And then, funny.
Yeah.
It's a little bad.
I heard that at a comedy show last summer. I've been menting to share. I've been menting.
Wow.
It's something I wish Joan Rivers had lived long enough to hear because I think she would have appreciated that one.
Wow.
I think that one would have rung a bell with Joan
Rivers. Would have, yeah, she would have loved that one.
Something.
Oh, my God.
Okay, let me find this first story. So, and now as everything with Adele goes, let me find it.
Are we going to talk about SNL, too?
Yeah.
I hope so.
God, I hope so, too.
I didn't get a chance to listen to that thing that you sent me yet, Clayton.
I think they already pulled it offline, but it's phenomenal. I have it saved. Okay. I recorded it, but I'll...
Oh, the raw video from Adele?
Just the raw 45 seconds of her singing.
Yeah, so... now, this is recently updated, because remember we talked about a couple of weeks ago, there was... there was a rumor that Adele might be putting something out by Christmas, and then like 20 seconds later, her first single, the album title, and the album release date were all there.
Rumor had it.
Yeah, there was, I mean, there was like no in-between time. Well, there was a there was a suspicion that Adele might break the first week sales record that NSYNC, I think Britney Spears has the female solo artist record and NSYNC has the record.
Of all time.
Of all time. And they thought that she had a chance of breaking them. But she broke the record. So the British singer's 25 has sold 2.4 million copies in the USA since its Friday release. And that makes it odd, too, because CDs are usually released on Tuesdays
right. Mm-hmm.
That gives us the biggest sales week ever since Nielsen SoundScan started tracking albums in 1991. It beats the previously set record by NSYNC, No Strings Attached, which debuted at 2.416 million copies in 2000. In just over 3 days, 25 is the top-selling album of the year, outpacing the 1.8 million copies of Taylor Swift's 1989. But she also, of that album, she sold like 3.6 million last year.
Mm-hmm.
So like as big as that album was and how they said Taylor Swift kind of saved the record industry,
yep.
This is like she's already pissed on that shit.
Fuck you, Taylor.
The numbers are even more impressive considering that 25 does not have the added boost of streaming figures factored in yet. So if you bought your thing outside of retail stores and just bought it off of iTunes or something like that.
Oh,
not
so
Apple
I was,
Music.
I was going to ask if digital...
digital's
if
not
digital
in there yet.
Digital purchases were considered... Oh, no.
Because
she got my $10, but I did it digital.
Yeah, she... And
I twofolded it.
Target did it because it has
the three bonus tracks.
Guilty.
So I,
not at all.
I made a copy of those three extra tracks.
I bought 21 like four different times because I thought I lost it once and bought it. And then I bought it one day because it fell into my cart at Target. And I'm like, all right, I got another copy. So streaming services, she was fighting streaming services at first, Spotify, Apple Music, and there's one other one. There's a Pandora's.
Tell me
one.
She gave in within a week and I bought the album. God damn it, Adele.
Yeah, but pay for your music. And every and I really am against those things because they're not paying artists. Songwriters and artists are not making money anymore. Like you have to be found, you know, you have to have the Koch brothers behind you to make music.
What's Nero saying? Adele pulled all her music from streaming sites?
She did it first, but I think they're not paying enough. Mm. And they have to admit to it, and people have to realize you can't have every song ever made for $9.99 a month. That's not fair. Mm-hmm. People are not getting paid in that
scenario. I'm loving
it,
I have to say. I mean, it may not be fair, but I love the service.
It's great for the consumer, but if you want like quality people to make quality music, you're not going to get it for $9.99 a month. You have to pay for your fucking music. We haven't evolved that far.
Got it.
Pay for your porn, too. So Adele's sophomore effort, 21, is also making a sales resurgence, having moved an additional 13,000 copies this past week. Now, in days of yore, 13,000 copies would have been nothing. That would have been a flop. But for a four-year-old album to push 13,000 copies, when sometimes that would get you in the top 10. Like, she sold 2.41 million albums her first week. If somebody sells 58,000... that gets you in the top 10. That's a huge sales.
Oh.
So she, like, do the math on
killed
that. Like,
it,
20 times that amount.
Right.
She's still only streaming Hello.
Okay. Which is getting, overplayed.
Let me...
wow.
I have seen... I swear to God, I posted something about it. It's the Bubba Gump Shrimp of songs.
Okay.
Because I've seen it fried and broiled and shrimp barbecue and shrimp fricassee and shrimp sandwich. I've seen Hello.
Except for Miss Piggy and Kermit.
The Miss Piggy Kermit. I've seen dance numbers. I've seen mashups with other Hello songs. I've seen everywhere.
Did you see that? Did you see the gay Mike Myers Halloween one?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any of them yet, but I haven't seen the original video, so I don't even know what people are parodying yet. I'm a little behind the times.
Yeah,
you're right. I haven't either.
Guess what you're watching after this show?
Yeah, I have a feeling.
I got to go, because I feel like I've had my fill. No, seriously. I feel like I've had my fill of Adele, because, you know, like everyone else, very excited. I paid my $10. I downloaded the thing. And then I realized that maybe it's not an album to listen to in public. Yeah, because the whole thing, have you listened to it all?
Uh-huh. I laid in bed with headphones and listened to the entire thing.
Yeah, so some headphones. So I like downloaded it, and I was sitting in Starbucks doing whatever the digital equivalent of paperwork is. Like, there's no paper involved anymore, but there's still, like, you have to fill out.
Work.
I know. I'm not sure. Oh, I was working, sure.
No, I don't know. You take the paper out.
You just take the paper out. So work. I was doing work, And I'm like legitimately sitting in a Starbucks, just like headphones in. I'm like, okay, just downloaded it. Boop, boop, boop. Use their free internet at the internet cafe.
Were you getting teary-eyed?
I totally was. I was sitting like, no, not just teary-eyed. Like tears all of a sudden were like falling. And I was like, I gotta go. I know. Like there's a couple of those tracks that I may not ever be able to hear again because they just gave me like that.
Wow.
Like, I know. And it's a lot. It gave me that like squeezy chest, like I can't breathe, I'm heartbroken. Yeah. Oh, I know. Really? I know. I was like, fuck you, Adele. Had it.
So we'll
fuck end that bitch.
We'll end this. Fuck that bitch. And her shenanigans. Adele's "Hello" is the most downloaded song of the past week, having sold an astounding. And I love that USA Today used "astounding" twice in the same thing. 2.6 million copies since its late October release, and she performed the single and new song "When We Were Young" on Saturday Night Live over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And she was so good. So a couple
when
things
we were
this.
Young is the one that was leaked from the like the studio thing right after Hello, right?
Right. Yeah.
And leaked by her. She's well, been sure. in charge of this because seriously, it wasn't leaked to the public because the press release and not the press release, it was the drum beat on the ground was like there's a possibility that there will be an Adele CD by Christmas. Mm-hmm. We're not sure if there's a lead off single to her like just putting the single out and you're like, wait. How do we go from rumors to it's done, it's completed,
to
shipping
here it is,
to stores?
To she's on stage with this beautiful light behind her. That's my favorite video of that, is her doing it live for like BBC with all the light behind her. I've watched all of the videos. Mm-hmm.
All of the videos.
I'm a little bit Adele overloaded right now.
And she performed at Radio City last week, and there was people on the TV stations talking about the concert in New York, and that it was just phenomenal. And then I just happened to see an ad. Joy Behar was one of the people that said that she saw it, but it turns out it was filmed for television. I don't know which network is airing it, but it's
The whole concert.
Yeah, the whole concert at Radio City is airing, and from what I heard,
I'm done.
She was.
I can't even describe like
yeah,
so
she
many.
She was in
feelings.
Spectacular voice.
Yeah,
and I guess the
and
night
so
was
good.
just a huge success. My problem with this "Hello" song, and it's very small, is that as I'm going back and revisiting because I wasn't able to get to Target till today
like
in search of that turkey. They didn't have it, but I got the Adele CD and I listened to it as I was driving around the rest of the places. And my problem with "Hello" gets solved by song number two, and it's a small thing. It's a beautiful song. It's very touchy feely.
Mm-hmm.
But that last album was so like throwback, 60s, 70s girl group, mm-hmm. Dusty Springfield, raw emotion, raw singing.
Song number two is "Send My Love to Your New Lover," isn't it?
Yeah, beautiful yes. song. But she just has this, like, the call and response, the antiphony, as they like to call
uh-huh,
it.
Uh-huh,
that
uh-huh.
choir thing, that girl group quality, and it's kind of raw vocal.
Super good.
That, to me, "Hello" is just too sonically perfect. It's too, like, it's too perfect. Her voice is too clear and spot on. Uh-huh. The it's just too pretty of an orchestra. Like, there's nothing seems raw about it. It just seems too over-polished, but it works. Like, it works.
Did you see or hear her mic line only video
from
SNL?
No, and it's not that. It's just that she had her vocal surgery, and then she had vocal lessons.
Right.
So now to make sure she doesn't need vocal surgery again.
Right.
And now she knows, like, she's a skilled singer as well as being a very talented singer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it just sounds so lush and so good. She's learned how to
really
sing
use her
and
instrument.
And use the instrument better. But then the production on that song is just so crystal clear.
Yeah.
But then the second one goes back to that girl group sounding, the call and response, like that whole fun, you can't quite picture what era you're in.
Yeah. No, I like the
quality
sound
of her music
a lot.
That she's always had. But "Hello," it's just one of those things where it just sounds too perfect. And then, like, I don't mean that as like an insult. It just has that different sound. And I was afraid the whole album was going to be like overproduced and overdone.
Oh,
and
sure,
like
very too grandiose.
Yeah, and she was going to lose
really
that raw element. But boy, did they that raw element comes back in song number two.
It does.
Her voice just sounds so much richer and fuller. She did that thing where she take a little time, learn how to use your voice so you don't hurt your throat, and sing the shit out of something.
But a lot of it does sound like at first instinct really churchy. Because I listen to like new CDs like little clips at a time. I do the first like 15 seconds of a song, and I'm like, next. Skip to the middle, next.
Yeah, just to get a little
piece
of.
Just like, what is this? What is this? What is this?
And I play it while I do other things. Like, when I get a CD, I'll like put it on in a room in the house while I'm like washing the dishes or cleaning or something, just to see what draws me back to the, like, what makes me stop what I'm doing and be like, what's this song? Like, in that other CD, it was my one and only. Like, that's the song that I was like, hold on. Because that's good. That's all good at church. But it does it. And that's why she sells so many CDs to me, is because, is it R&B? Kind of. Is it adult contemporary? Kind of. Does she hit that, like, girl group? I don't know what era this is. Like, you could tell me at any point, you could put on one of her CDs and tell me this is Dusty Springfield 1972 live in Memphis. And I'd be like, well, of course it is.
Of course it is. Sure.
I believe every one of those songs.
My iTunes download genre classified as pop. The Target CD is classified as R&B. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's the same. That's why she's selling on every radio format and rolling in the deep. Like, what would you describe that as? You can kind of dance to it. You can kind of get your shit done. It's also kind of like Elton Johnny and like, what the fuck is this song about? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's got that weird quality, but then Rumor has it on that other album.
Oh, Rumor has it. It's so good.
That's where they do the call and response, where that could be any girl group from the Ronettes right up to Waterfalls, TLC to Destiny's Child. You could believe that was any single girl group you told me it was. I'd be like, yep, that is. Yes, that is who it is. Black, white, Asian, Bangladesh, Bangladesh.
Oh.
So it was really, but I have no idea. But they're really going for overplaying that Hello song off the bat.
Everywhere.
And we're playing at work. Like, everybody is, I classify it as Celine Dion. Drew, go put your head in the toilet and flush. Give yourself a swirly from me. To use those
press the back of your head.
Down.
Downward.
Make a couple of gay jokes so it feels like a hate crime.
And then when you're drying yourself off, be mad at yourself.
Exactly. And then
say into the mirror, I only have myself to blame.
Blame the victim.
And then all of a sudden, before you know it, as you're drying your ears, she'll be like, when you touch me like this.
It's all coming back to me now.
You kiss me like that. Hello.
But it really does shut the door on Whitney Houston and people like that. Look, mostly because she's dead.
Well, you still got your
it's kind of a mausoleum door.
She's got no comeback on this, that's
all
for
right,
sure.
Yeah.
Figure on the pulse over there.
So let's see what else I, because I didn't have a lot in entertainment. So Sleepy Hollow, which came back this season, they kind of revamped it. They cut his hair. They got him some clothes. Ichabod Crane's, you know, kind of dating a girl who likes those old-timey things.
Oh, that's nice.
But they're moving it to Friday, which means it's going there to die, because
That's where TV Friday is, goes
that's,
to die.
That's where they go to die. So this is probably the last season of that. Oh, The Walking Dead, the great mystery, not for you people, but for the rest of the world, has been about Glenn and what happened to Glenn and what was Glenn's fate.
Is he dead?
It
or
was
are we
revealed.
Get spoilers? I don't know.
Oh, so I guess spoiler alert, so turn off your... your audio in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He's alive. which was kind of hinted at from the very beginning. So,
well, yeah, there was a lot of speculation online about, is he dead? Is he alive? Is he dead?
Because they didn't do an in memoriam on the Talking Dead, which was your first clue. But they did take his name off the credits for a couple weeks. But
just
there's a Facebook page called the Spoiling Dead, or the Spoiling Dead fans, and they stalk the film crews, and they list every day where in Georgia they're filming, so that people can get cameras. They have people like Kamikaze photographing and sending like crew photos and set photos.
Fun.
So it was very clear that his photo was amongst other things.
He was still,
but it was really well done. All very good. So that was that. But it was a great episode. There's only one more before the mid-season finale. I don't even know where that section is. That was it. So let's check the interwebs and see if we have anything
to check.
Add.
Some more things, because you need way more things.
Yeah, nothing. Oh, so SNL. So SNL this week was Matthew McConaughey, who I want that Oscar back, because I now that Lincoln commercial makes me hate him.
I just can't watch him. He's got. I agree that he's got some talent, and he's kind of. He's not adverse to playing something funny or squirrely or goofy. Obviously, I bypass the entire monologue because I just can't listen to him. I can't at all.
All right.
I can't do that at all.
I love that.
But I the family gathering I thought was funny in the house.
I thought it was my
where they were going to argue. The family starts to argue.
Oh, and
then the music
more
comes
hello.
In. But the funny thing about it is. What I was saying to actually Tammy earlier today when she was here was the fact that's what happens when that fucking song comes on, no matter where you are. Everybody just stops.
Oh, and like I said, it's been going around because we all have, you know, we all chart on computers and everybody, like, people have, like, their Pandora on the computer. They'll have, like, YouTube up to watch a video to just to, like, take your mind off stuff. Well, I mean, Hello went around like all eight desks the other day.
But it was, I thought it was an enjoyable SNL. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and it's been good the couple of weeks. I finally watched a part, if not all, of the Donald Trump one, and it wasn't bad. Oh, I think we talked about that I remember that might have been last week. And then the one with Elizabeth Banks.
I haven't watched that.
The weekend update was really funny.
Oh. The one segment this past SNL that I thought was funny when they did the Fox and Friends segment and they went to the fact checker, and it's the really funny black girl that I never remember the name of, and she's like, I'm going to be here all night.
And I feel terrible. She's now the Benedict Cumberbatch of SNL.
She's so funny.
Her name always escapes me, and I'm a big fan. So, oh, look at this.
Cumberbatch.
I'm like, is that her name? So how busy I've been, that the Spirit Award nominations, which are the independent film awards, they go along with the Oscars, are given out in Santa Monica on the beach the day before the Oscars. Everybody's always barefoot and kind of casual.
LaToya Marie?
Very nice.
No.
Or Denitra Vance?
No. Looking for the SNL chick?
Where'd you say? Oh, yeah, Leslie Jones.
I always forget her name. All right, so the Spirit Award.
I know Jones is a really, that's a difficult one.
Because you're expecting it to be like a Cumberbatch. Okay, so Spirit Award nominations. Let's see if there's anything good in here. Or if this is going to act up on us.
It might act up. Maybe. Want me to sing a little Adele?
Hello.
Oh.
Hello from the other side.
So.
It's me.
And it makes me mad because no matter what voice I try and scream that hook in, that hello from the other side, I just can't manage it.
No.
Yeah. Falsetto? Nope. No. Go lower? Nope. No. I can't quite find it to scream it out. I got nothing.
Okay, so best feature nominations went to Carol, the movie that we were talking about with Kate Blanchett a few weeks ago that won at the film festivals, the lesbian couple. It's her and Kate Mara, one of the Mara sisters. I'm not sure which. Spotlight, about the Boston Herald investigating the crimes by the priests, the molestation charges, getting great reviews, and Beasts of No Nation. There's a movie coming out called Anomalisa. It's Charlie Kaufman, who gave us The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind adaptation, being John Malkovich. He has an animated movie that's supposed to be spectacular. And it's getting all kinds of raves. Everyone's talking about it. And Sean Baker's Tangerine, which I'm not sure what that is. For Best Director nominations, the horror movie It Follows was nominated, which is kind of a big deal that a horror movie gets a nomination. But It Follows was kind of fun. Lead actress Carol for... I got to find out which Mara sister it is. I feel bad. Rooney Mara is the one in the movie. So they both got nominated for Best Actress. Belle Powley for Diary of a Teenage Girl. Brie Larson for Room, which is the movie to absolutely look for. It's called Room. It's out in limited release right now. Brie Larson probably going to win the Oscar this year for Best Actress. Across the board, phenomenal reviews and a brilliant little movie. And Kitiana Kiki Rodriguez for Tangerine, which I got to find out what that is because it's getting all kinds of nominations. I don't know what this Beast of No Nation. Let's see what else is on here. Nope, never heard of any of these.
Oh, good work.
Tangerine says, a working girl tears through Tinseltown on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, not...
Amazing.
Let's not sure. It. So these are the Independent Spirit Awards. So look them up. There's some good stuff there.
Searching for the pimp who broke her heart.
Oh.
These are the things I can't make up.
That sounds like fun. But definitely see Carol. It's
like you do.
It's a must.
The author that gave us The Talented Mr. Ripley, Patricia Patricia Kingsley, something like that. But the book was called The Price of Salt.
Okay.
It's a fantastic book, and it's a story of a married woman who falls in love with a shop girl, and they have an affair, and then they end up like... It's in the 50s or 60s. Beautiful costumes, great direction. It's by the guy that gave us what the hell was the name of that movie with Dennis Quaid and Julianne Moore, where Dennis Quaid was gay on the down low and Julianne Moore didn't understand where he had gone.
Nope, I got nothing.
I got nothing.
I have nothing.
Beautiful, beautiful movie though. So he makes Todd His name is Todd something or other, the director. Todd Haynes is the director.
All right.
And I can't think what the name of that movie is. But Carol and Room are your two moves to see this holiday season to get you up to date with the Oscars. Spotlight's been getting great reviews. I saw Trumbo last week. And if you want to see, like, if you think, like, America always acts poorly when it comes time to, like, any kind of a scare, we go
Far From Heaven?
Far From Heaven. Beautiful, beautiful movie. And that's done in the style of, like, the old Douglas Sirk movies of, like, All That Heaven Allows and all those old 50s movies.
And the hair.
Yeah, with the beautiful, beautiful women going through melodramatic movies with absolutely gorgeous clothes and sets and costumes. Where, like, no housewife looks like this, but they're always drinking daiquiris and, like, everything is done perfectly in the daiquiris. Douglas Sirk movies. Yeah. But so, man. Trumbo last week was... it's about the communist scare in the 40s and 50s. Everyone knows about McCarthyism, but especially if you've seen The Way We Were, The Way We Were tackles it, the 40s version when it first started and the blacklisting and everything that went on there and the men that went to prison for communist ties and had a Hopper's role in it. And it really is about this writer that did his time in jail, was expecting the Supreme Court to rule in his favor, but then the justices died and it became a conservative court that was afraid of communism. They served. They came back. And there's a line in The Way We Were where they're like, you know, this scare will only go on as long as until some movie producer needs that communist to fix his movie to make money. Mm. Then this is going to reverse. And Trumbo was this writer that wrote... He wrote Roman Holiday. He wrote Spartacus. He wrote... it's called The Bullfighter or something like that. Won a couple of Oscars under pseudonyms. He was blacklisted, but he and his cronies, his friends, wrote all these movies under assumed names to get around the blacklist.
Okay.
And then eventually Hollywood had to apologize. But it tells you, like, what an asshole John Wayne was, like, what a conservative fuck he was.
Right.
And it kind of helps you understand where Ronald Reagan came from. Like, how from a town that's supposed to be so liberal did we get this ass clown, Ronald Reagan? And it really shows you the way there was these ultra-conservatives hiding in Hollywood that did not like the liberal element.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Lucille Ball went through a pink scare, but she got a job anyways because she was mm-hmm. making money. And they kind of denounced it. Desi Arnaz, who's from a communist country, said right. The only thing red about her is her hair, and even that's fake. Like, mm-hmm. she had her own thing to fight in the early 50s. But it just shows, like, how we just always retreat to, like, the scaredy cat corner and just behave like real cowards when the chips are down.
Absolutely.
Whether it's internment camps for Japanese people, driving the Indians across the nation, the communist scare, how we just treat people who are different from us at first. We just go to panic.
What? While, it's different. Kill it! Kill it!
Yeah, while yelling out this whole land of the free and the home of the brave and all other kinds of bullshit. But so it's an interesting movie. It's called Trumbo, and it's out now. And great performances. It's just like every person that's ever been in Hollywood. But the guy that plays John Wayne is amazing. And he's an actor that's in everything. That plays Edward G. Robinson, and he has a really tough thing where he's saying that the actors that are blacklisted because they caved and they name names before the committee. But they're like, we can't act under a fake name. Our face is our fortune. Like, mm-hmm. we would go broke. Like, you can write under a fake name. We're actors. Our face is out there. So it made them have to do the wrong thing. And you get a little bit of sympathy for them, but then you're kind of like, it's easy to tell someone to stand up and be brave and go live in poverty. It's hard to do.
It's hard to do. Sure.
Yeah. It's you're blaming them for what was really the people, Luella Parsons and John Wayne and all these people that were really shitty. But John Wayne was one of those things that the young Hollywood, like, all the people from the 60s and 70s, they respected him, but they were like, but he's a douche. Because he hated all the movies that they were making. He was always bitching about the Academy Awards and the things that were getting nominated. Like, he hated everything from the 60s and 70s and just wanted it to go back to, like, wholesome things where Americans always won and there should always be a good guy. Right, yeah. The Indians always get shot in the head. So that's it for until I can think of for entertainment. So,
have you seen A Secret in Their Eyes?
I did not see
that
this week.
Is that even of interest?
It is of interest because the original movie is from Argentina, mm-hmm. Secreto en sus Ojos, which is really good. It's a really good movie.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, Shenanigans.
Yeah.
It's a very good, this is a remake of it, so I want to see how they do it because we don't have to put it in America. You're missing the Dirty War from Argentina, which is where we get like Kiss of the Spider Woman from that era, and La Historia Oficial. There's a bunch of movies that deal with that dirty war in Argentina, kind of post Perón and the government takeover, and that's where all that whole thing comes from. And then The Secret in Their Eyes is like 30 years later, going back to investigate a murder case.
Okay.
So it's a really good, the original movie was really good, and I'm just curious how they can do that without the, you know, the war that they're talking about. Like, so very strange.
Huh. I'm intrigued there because they're talking a lot with Julia Roberts as far as the whole Oscar-worthy kind of thing. And mm-hmm. I think it's interesting whenever the big stars end up getting an Oscar for those roles where they kind of tame their look.
Right.
You know, Charlize Theron with Monster.
Monster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, well deserved. Like that,
no, 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 yeah, that was well deserved. Monster's Ball was the one with
Halle Berry.
Halle Berry,
different.
But yeah, the but Julia Roberts, her role that she played in
August Osage County.
Oh, well, August Osage County, but also
which is currently on
the
Netflix.
Heart, the Normal Heart.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, just kind of de-beautifying, but she still looks beautiful. But yeah. I mean, de-beautifying herself. And seeing that's what a lot of is going on in this movie.
Yeah, and it hasn't gotten great reviews, but I think...
Is that the one about the daughter that gets killed?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So it hasn't gotten great reviews, but because the original is like not one of those like obscure foreign films, like it won the Oscar for Best Foreign Film a few years ago, like film lovers know that movie.
Sure.
So that's who's going to review this one. Are there people that are doing movie reviews... know the other movie, you know what I mean?
Sure. We're going in, maybe.
They're going in with
a
bias.
I'm going in with...
Right, so, yeah.
Just with the eye for this, perhaps.
Right, and then... So movie critics aren't being as kind because I think they're going in doing a comparison.
Sure. Well, and...
And like I said, that was the problem with Black Mass, was if you've never seen all the movies that were fakely made about, or like, you know, Romana Clef's about mm-hmm. Whitey Bulger... When you finally get to see the movie about Whitey Bulger, you're like, this seems so familiar. Because everyone's been stealing that story for so long.
And everything, right?
And, oh, there's a great documentary on, and you got to Google this for me, it's about Warren Jeffs. It's a documentary on Showtime about the FLDS guy.
Yeah, I actually have it. I have that recorded.
It's called The False Prophet or the something right. Prophet.
Stand by.
Bullshit from Jail.
Yeah. Prophets Pray?
Prophets Pray. But Pray like P-R-E-Y.
Well, sure, because...
And it's about his capture and his trial and the efforts to get him on the FBI's 10 most wanted list.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Which they did. And when you see that the top 10 most wanted for the FBI list at the time he was on it, it was Osama bin Laden, him, Whitey Bulger, mm-hmm. and then I couldn't catch the rest.
Oh.
But I was just... And I was just like, wow... He's second only to
Bin Laden.
Like, he's ahead of Whitey Bulger for molesting children and all the horrible things he's done.
Well, because, at the time when really he was, shivering. Like, at the peak of news, like...
Bulger was killing adults, not molesting children. Very different.
Well, yeah, but a
very
lot of
different.
No, yeah, I understand.
Awful.
Warren Jeffs was the self-proclaimed prophet of the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints Church. So the offshoot of the Mormons that still... is super suspicious of all things that they're
not suspicious of all things. He shut them in.
Yeah, they're such shut-ins.
He denied them TV, internet, any contact with the outside world. Yeah. He took all their money. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't tithe him. They had to give him anything they
everything,
earned.
Right.
He had them working like 22-hour days.
Mm-hmm.
They would start off milking cows at like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and they would end up working construction till midnight.
Oh.
And they were supposed to, when they got tired, pray, not sleep.
Pray.
And he married 12-year-old girls.
Yep.
Insane.
But
shit.
And the worst part is all of his, there's so many worse parts to it.
There's a lot of
but
worse
he's,
parts.
Narrow
he's
that down.
They're giving you his audio tapes that he gives to his brother to play for the people that still live in the communities, the temple areas where he is. And you hear his speaking voice.
Why
can't, and it's the stuff of nightmares.
Why can't that be stopped? If part of the problem was, and I don't know what they really were writing on. I guess if I were to see the movie, I would know more about it. But if part of the whole problem is, or was it just the children? Was that? I guess the brainwashing of people. If you're going to like Jonestown.
Right, yeah, that's not illegal.
That's not illegal.
That's
so,
just a church.
So sex with minors is the crime here.
Yeah. So, oh, and
this is the
okay. So that's the whole.
Children,
that was the whole thing.
Children having children, like 24-year-olds with grandchildren.
Yeah.
Right.
Like. So crazy
the
audience,
so there's no way they can, I guess, legally stop him from having these tapes. So the word doesn't come from the from inside the walls
no,
anymore.
No, but he also, it turns out, what got him can what they wouldn't admit in the when they wouldn't admit into evidence in Utah because they said it was inflammatory and would like upset the jurors was there is a tape of him consummating the marriage with the 12-year-old girl. That's what he's on trial for. So they he won in appeals, that got thrown out. The Utah trial, but then they sent him to Texas.
And Texas said, uh-uh.
Well, and because Texas had a better case against him. So whether the judge in Utah, they know that there's political motivations for why he allowed the appeal, why he ruled in favor of the appeal, but they're not sure what it was. If they didn't want Utah to be the state that convicted a Mormon, and they but they knew, but he did, and he did it on the day that he was to be extradited to Texas. So it like there was nothing to stop him from being sent to Texas to stand trial. So it's a weird there's a weird little political thing there. Everybody was like, not sure what's going on here, but he went to Texas. They heard the tape and they investigate a juror. I mean, that they interview a juror who's like, the minute they played that tape, it was over. Yeah. She's 12.
Right.
She came on the stand. And boys, girls, everybody came out and
what's it called again?
The FLDS Church?
No.
Prophets Pray.
Well, Prophets Pray
is the movie.
But P-R-E-Y. It's very, very good.
And I'm assuming P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So I guess there's...
Yes.
Yeah. And then the last bit of news, I'm not sure if anybody knows who he is, but he was on Bonanza, and then he was on All My Children playing the twins, Adam and something Stewart. Mm-hmm. I don't remember their names, but I used to watch All My Children. David Canary, Emmy winner. Died of natural causes after a full life of acting and being, you know.
How old was he?
77 years old, which I was shocked by.
Oh, okay.
But he's been on there for 35 years, he was a younger man.
Clearly not
started.
Shocking.
But just he really was a great actor, and I vaguely remembered him when he came on All My Children. I remember my mother or father saying something, oh, the guy from Bonanza. I think it was Candy or Cookie or...
Oh,
something
that's right.
On Bonanza.
Yeah.
Oh, he looks like a Bonanza guy.
And so...
But the
great... One of the best things you can ever say, a working actor for his entire life. Like, up until they... And then he died of natural... If he could have died on the stage, it would have been a better death. But
he was married to Erica Kane.
As were many people
on
the show.
But it's just the idea. I mean, he could...
One of the twin brothers married her.
Oh, in the series.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, he was married to Susan Lucci?
Nope.
Okay. I hadn't heard that.
Well, and Tomo and Anant have some stuff in there concerning the movie. I believe that this is the one, forgive me, Anant, if I'm mistaking this, but Raincoat, Tomo put in there, and I think it's the same one that Anant is referring to, but I might be wrong. And it looks wonderful. So just maybe give that one a try. Something a little bit different. Because I don't want to butcher these names that are in here.
It's a Bollywood drama from 2004. Is that what they're talking about?
I will definitely look for that. I'm going to look for wine though first.
Yes. All right, go see find some wine.
Yes.
Enjoy
bye, Al. I think Al's done with this segment.
I think Al's done with his segment. So what we're going to do then, I need this. I need magic to happen. I have too many buttons to push. I hate it when I was all ready and then things go differently and then I wasn't ready.
Oh. All right.
But let's...
Crossover?
Do that first.
Intro?
Let's do that. No, right. We'll do that and then hit you on the way back.
I love it.
It works better that
I'm
way.
In.
It makes more sense to me at least.
All right.
Oh my gosh. So round two of my plate. Desserts coming.
How'd it go?
Well, it's so far so good. It's right here.
Okay.
Desserts are coming shortly, I'm assuming, because we've got an hour left.
Yep. Thanks for tuning in to watch us eat. I feel like we should rethink the food shows now that we're pushing the video. I feel like when it was an audio-only show, that made a whole lot more sense.
Fuck it. It's once a year.
They said something about it in the chat room, and I was like, oh.
You know what?
They're fucking watching us.
That's what a remote control's for. They can watch something else. We encourage you to eat along
Thanks,
with us.
Kind listeners.
We'll be back in Momo.
Oh,
Al's back already. We'll be back in just a minute. Hour three coming at you. Desserts and more right here on Q Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome. You are in the last hour of tonight's show. We call it hour three. You call it the last hour, the hostage crisis. I'm here alongside Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. It is our Thanksgiving Eve show. And if you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, it's quite all right. Happy Thursday Eve for you. In the Americas, we had this little thing called Thanksgiving, and it's the kickoff of the, really, it's the official kickoff of the entire holiday season, where people are snarky, nasty, and there's not a parking space to be had within a mile of any shopping
center. And they wish you good. Wish you well.
You're a mean one.
I wish half of you
were.
Fuck that bitch. That's what I
was. Fuck that bitch.
I mean, for God's sake, it just gets a little bit too much, I think. But anyway, but here we are, and thank you for being with us. It's time for a little segment that we call What in the Hell is Kat Going to Give Us This Week? And it goes a little something like this.
I feel like we should call this segment The Attempt. And in The Attempt tonight, we're going to attempt to talk about Amazon's pilot season. We're going to do a little entertainment. 10 gay movies your straight friends must see. Judy's Dress. Golden Granny Panties. Twin Falls, 90 pairs of undies, perhaps, and Florida companies that don't suck to work for. And if we get through all that, then we're just going to make up some more shit. Ding, ding.
Aha! Uh-huh. Kat Carlson, boys and girls.
So I'm going to ride on some Al Perkins Entertainment coattails, and I want to talk about, do you watch any of the Amazon pilot season, Amazon Prime? I think this is the third year running that they have put out just an array of pilots.
Oh, then may or may not have been picked up.
Right. That are going to be picked up somewhat based on user feedback.
Oh, that's fun.
It is very fun. And so I've being not with, you know, cable television, I don't DVR anything, and everything's very streaming and on demand in my house. You know, we have Amazon Prime, and I've actually started watching some of them, and I have to say I'm super impressed and intrigued by them. Mm-hmm. To the point that I've gone to all the trouble, all the 3 minutes worth of trouble of filling out the survey.
It's a lot of trouble.
I know. A couple that I might recommend to those of you that are streaming some things. A show called Heistin, which is about a young man, like 19, 20 years old, who's maybe a little touched and has some imaginary friends. Those imaginary friends happen to be famous people. They reference in the intro. And you only get, like, the first episode. So this is, like, 40 minutes of television. And you get all of this introduction and have to get hooked. And I have to say I'm hooked on, like, three shows already. And I'm like, where the fuck is the rest of the season? So Heistin is this kid whose imaginary friends, like, talk to him. And in the episode, his imaginary friends, and they actually are, Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, fine.
And Shaquille O'Neal.
Okay.
Yeah, and so they, like, follow him around, and they make it very clear that they're imaginary friends, and they give him, like, life advice, and they tell him what to do, and they, you know, help him out through all of his various problems. Whatever the problem arises. And I'm just super intrigued by that concept. I'm like, there are so many places that this can go.
That's fun.
Yeah, and it's super entertaining. And the lead actor, he's got like kind of this like good little Mormon boy, like Book of Mormon, like fresh face, and you know, just a very very cute show. And then I continued on and watched one called One Mississippi, which was a little bit depressing, but it has I can't remember her name. It's Tig the comedian.
Oh, Nagari.
Nalaro.
Same thing.
Right.
The one who recently had breast cancer and did that very uncomfortable stand-up.
Yes.
Where she did took her shirt off.
You know what? And the show, equally uncomfortable.
Oh.
Yeah, she likes that right on the edge of, like, squirmy comedy. Yeah,
very squirmy comedy. And it totally shows in her show. Like, if that one got picked up, I feel like that would just be 13 episodes of...
yeah!
And then the one I know. That's the noise that you would make.
Okay.
Yeah.
Carl. Almost, yeah. Almost sound like Tina from Bob's Burgers.
Uh-huh. And then they have quite a few kids shows on here, which I'm debating on whether to inflict them upon the children.
Yeah.
And then one more that I've watched was an hour long, and it's called Good Girls Revolt. And it's about basically women in the 60s and 70s in the workplace, and it's about Newsweek magazine, actually, and the way that they're making decisions and covering, and the you know, strength of the women characters in it. And that one, like, I responded to Amazon. I was like, this has to be made. You people, like, it wrote like a big long
and
thing.
And it's such an interesting time and such an interesting thing.
Yeah, it's such a great time, you know, because there's a part in the show where, you know, one of the old fat white guys just looks at the girl and is like, yeah, but you're a girl.
Right.
Like, no. Girls don't write articles.
Sure.
Reporters do.
Sure.
And I was like, what? And, you know, the girl's just getting and after it and changing.
Was well, no, she talking to Barbara shit. Walters at the time?
No, but similar, but very similar.
But very similar to
very
what she went
similar
through.
Similar to what Barbara Walters would have gone through, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how, like, what she could be called on when she was on the Today Show because she was the co-host, but they called her, like, they had to work on what her title would be to be on the Today Show at first.
So that she wasn't an
just
equal.
The girl that was sitting next to him, like, and she fought to have her title changed, and then just the hatred she went through in 76 to have her on with is it Harry Reasoner?
Oh, hey,
Harry Reasoner, I think, was her partner on.
And Harry Reasoner couldn't stand her.
Because she was a woman. It was all sexist.
And what's sad is I loved him, and then once I heard that, I'm like, oh, tarnished his image for me.
Oh, yeah, no, he was a cunt. And all the horrible things he said and did to her. But then ABC was left with her contract, and that's how 2020 came up. They were stuck with her.
They put her with Hugh Downs
she
and let her go.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck and walk away. She's like, bitches, I got a contract here.
Right.
You dream
like,
something up.
You need to
so that's where
pay
we get
me.
The Barbara Walters specials mm-hmm. from. That's where 2020 comes from. Everything was all to make room for Barbara mm-hmm. Walters away from
and
Harry Reasoner.
And look at what
Reasoner.
She did with all of that.
Yeah, because she only lasted like a year with him.
Yeah.
But her her broadcast or her announcing of the bicentennial, which I think I'm the only one that remembers. But her
were six.
That whole thing was just so
I was
beautifully done. Like how she talked over the tall ships coming into New York Harbor and the fire, and she was on TV the whole day, just doing her color commentary on the unfolding
and that was
of the
kind
bicentennial.
Of her big thing?
No, but it was where I. That's where I
it's
first.
It's what you remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we didn't watch ABC Evening News back then. Yeah. I think we were still Walter Cronkite.
Right.
I don't think we'd moved on to people where they let women do stuff.
Right. And back then, it would have been on ABC Evening News. Would have been probably Frank Reynolds.
Him, I knew though. I liked Frank.
Frank or Steve kind. Bell.
Go ahead, Millie.
Before
remember
Peter.
That name.
Before Peter Jennings.
I don't remember Steve Bell.
And I love I love that Peter Jennings smoked like a chimney, like. And he was from
Isn't
the era.
Isn't that wild though? Like when you like watching.
Well, but no, because he's from the area of when they weren't allowed to smoke. So they hired this big smoker that should have been able to smoke on TV.
Yeah.
But right when he came on, they stopped letting people smoke on TV. And I guess it made him fucking nuts that like everybody else has smoked. And so like he was like underneath the desk, like
leaning over.
Jade smoke.
Yeah, well, because that was a thing for a long time, like into almost the 90s, where they would, you know, even like and news just, broadcasts like that.
The state offices,
and off you
go.
Could.
Oh, forgot. And late night with like old Tom Snyder on NBC. Oh,
yeah. On TV, it stopped around 80 or 81 that people stopped being allowed to smoke on TV. And for a while, you couldn't drink on TV. So even though on Cheers, everyone had drinks, Norm was never allowed to drink the beer.
Yeah.
So there was a brief time where you couldn't show someone drinking on network TV. So Norm never,
he
for
would,
a couple years,
could, like,
Norm couldn't drink. He'd pick it up and
cheer,
talk.
You know, yeah.
We'd never make it on
network
TV. No. Well, first, we have to be asked to the dance first.
Yeah.
Settle down. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, really.
Thanks for pointing that out.
So it was called Good Girls Revolt.
Good Girls Revolt.
I will look for that.
Yeah, look for, if you're lost at all, just Google Amazon Pilot Season.
Okay.
And it runs, I'm not sure, and the website didn't say like how long they've got them out there for your consideration.
Yeah.
But yeah, go find them. Go find any of them and like review them because apparently Amazon takes greatly into consideration like viewer feedback of which ones to green light and which ones to actually produce. And they'll become original series exclusive to Amazon. Which, I drank that Kool-Aid. I'm okay with it. Why not? Why not? But yeah, Good Girls Revolt, I've like wrote them a long letter. I was like, this has to be made. Like, this needs to be made. We need to see this perspective of this part of history. And
yeah.
That sounds.
I got super feminist.
That sounds more fun than the way they used to do it, where they would just go city to city. Like, they'd go to a Holiday Inn and they'd have a ball. They'd rent out a ballroom and they would show. They would do test markets and they would show. Like, you'd have to sign up for a day.
Yeah.
And they would. I don't know if they necessarily would pay you, but they think they would feed you and you would watch like 30 minutes. Like all day long, little 30-minute shows, and they would ask you about it. Mm-hmm. But I think what they're doing—it's the same thing. But
focus groups.
But you're getting so much more of a cross section of people because rather than just these idiots who will show up at the Holiday Inn, I'll sit at home and watch it. And I think you get a better cross section. So I bet they're getting better feedback than they probably ever have.
You're more comfortable.
I don't know if you're getting
eating food you want. If you want to, you can get up and go to the bathroom. You're not missing,
and you're not being unduly influenced by like maybe ABC has a better buffet.
But it's the people who literally sit at home and watch the streaming stuff.
I don't know if that's a more diverse demographic. I think it's maybe a different demographic. But I don't know that it's any more diverse
because it's still the shut-ins.
Right. It's still shut-ins, and thanks. I wish I was a
shut-in. Cat, we like to
shut-ins and Board House Wives.
So I'm in that number.
But you're, you know, you're probably not in a lot of this. You're probably not getting, you know, your over 40 crowd is probably not watching a lot of them. You know what I mean?
Like right. Young because kids, you have like to be,
you're 18 to 25 male.
You have to be pretty deep down the rabbit hole to be getting into like Amazon Prime subcategories. that's what I meant by shut-in, like.
That's what happens when you turn off the cable.
And one of the things this last month with The Walking Dead is they've been talking about now you have a water cooler. It's been a long time since you had a water cooler show where people are watching it live. They're not binge watching it. And you did have to wait the 3 weeks to see what happened.
Yeah.
So you've had other episodes that aired that had nothing to do with that character. And the fact that it turned into a national conversation about... And it became memes, it became GIFs, and, you know, if you follow the Spoiling Dead, you kind of know, if you read the comic book, you had a clue that maybe something, and the way it was shot, there was some clues there. But it led to debate about television, which hasn't happened in a long time.
In a long time, sure.
That you had to wait a whole, and everyone had to wait together.
Yeah,
so, and if you're a binge watcher, it got ruined for you because everyone just gave it up.
About
everyone's
it,
like, we can't wait for you to binge watch this in a year on
you.
DVD. Yeah.
Right. I've given up on spoilers for The Walking Dead. That's just going to end up happening in a solid week for like 3 seasons, and then I'll be all caught up again.
And you forget about it by the time it happens.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of forget about it.
Segway City.
Just in time for you to curl up with friends and family to watch some great movies over the holidays. The members of Who Knew This Existed, the Gay and Lesbian Entertainment Critics Association.
Yep, did not know.
Yep.
Nope.
Gay and Lesbian. Yeah. Say it again. Gay and Lesbian.
Gay and Lesbian Entertainment Critics Association. They made the interesting
Dweeks?
No, they made the interesting choice of including "and" in their acronym. Yeah.
Glands.
Galeca.
Oh, that makes more sense.
G A L E C A.
Not.
You can find their website at galeca.com.
Galeca.
Yeah, Galeca. Okay. Whatever.
Galeca.
They've shared their 10 best LGBTQA films.
It's a good thing they threw that.
Every non-LGBTQA person should see.
Oh. I'm curious.
Is A for aspiring?
And I feel like you skipped a straight. We got to get back to that. Go ahead.
Maybe. Okay. We'll come back tomorrow. I'm not sure what the A is for.
Aspiring, I'm assuming.
Aspiring.
I don't know.
Is the questioning.
Gay and
it's not questioning, you're aspiring.
Wait, you know, so you got lesbian, gay, bi, trans, questioning...
Asexual.
And?
Could be asexual.
And?
Because you don't want to seem like you're forgetting anybody, so you want to give them time to speak up and self-identify. And?
You know what, judges?
Yeah. We'll allow
they
it.
Really
all
are.
Right.
We'll and, allow yeah. All right, so here's your list in alphabetical order.
It's fair.
No preference given.
Do not see or see.
What happened?
These are movies to see or not to see?
To see.
To see.
These are movies that, according to the... Gay and Lesbian Entertainment Critics Association.
Galeca.
Non-LGBTQA people should see.
Absolutely. I used to watch that show, so Battlestar Galeca.
These are movies that you should inflict upon your straight friends and family.
Okay, all right.
Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Okay, fair. Big fan.
Boys Don't Cry.
Big fan.
Absolutely.
Tough movie.
Brokeback Mountain?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You think?
Yeah. Just, and not because it's gay and lesbian. No, it's wonderful. Beautifully it's a great made. Movie. Beautifully made.
No. It really is. Ugh. Such a good movie.
Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
Yes.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
The Kids Are All Right?
Yes. No. Oh, I love
that. That was a good movie.
With Annette Bening and Julianne Moore.
I don't know. I felt
it's a little bit of a cop out because she sleeps with a man, but
yeah. I was more into the guy. Who was his name? Who is it?
Ruffalo.
I'm on board.
No, I thought that the story was good. I just it just seemed very angry and very, I don't know. There were just
You're always going to expect her to be Annette Bening from The American President. No, like you're just always going to expect that.
I expect her to be the crazy lady from American Beauty. Yeah.
I always expect. Yeah, from American President.
The best part about that movie though is that I said it out loud right as she said it. You're an interloper. Like you just like I got why she was angry and I just identified with her so much that I kind of like got her language. Like I knew exactly what word she was going to choose. I thought that was such a perfectly realized character that Annette Bening did. I was kind of disappointed that Julianne Moore went with the guy, but I loved Annette Bening like protecting her family and like. This is real. Get the fuck out.
Well, Clayton and I, you and I went to see that together, and the sound went out. Remember that? We saw like the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Right, then they stopped.
Oh, yeah.
And then they came in, and they're like, we're going to move you to another theater. And so then we get up and we go, and I think for me it was just because of that. A lot of disruption broke that rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
It's like waking up in the middle of the night. Like, you had to come out of your trance and then go back into it, and it's never the same again. Yeah.
True. So that may have been part of it for me. If I watched it again, maybe.
Continuing on the list, one I haven't seen, Longtime Companion.
Oh, bring so every good. Tissue you have.
Really?
So good.
Beautiful. And that's where we get Mary Louise Parker from.
Oh. Yeah.
That's her big break.
Good to know. Next on the list, Maurice.
Oh, Morris.
I don't
Morris.
Know that. Do I?
Spelled Maurice. It's a novel by E.M. Forster. It is two young men at Cambridge that have a secret affair at the same time. It's where Hugh Grant comes from. It's his first movie. And it's at the same time as the movie with Rupert. What's Rupert's name? The gay guy from My Best Friend's Wedding. Rupert Everett. Mm. He's not in this. He might be in this movie. But there's a movie called Another Country about a spy scandal at Cambridge that it was about a homosexual.
Oh.
And this movie takes place a few years later. So they're all wary of being called homosexual. They have a gay friend, but that spy story plays into it. So seeing Another Country, which is a great movie about a gay person that was railroaded into like a spy.
Mm-hmm.
He was accused of being a spy. But it is one of the most beautiful movies, and it's from the people that gave us A Room with a View, and I just realized she hates the other view. I'm going to say so. I won't say
you're going to go there.
I can't think
Howard's
of it. Howard's End, The Remains of the Day. It's by them. Same screenwriter, same director, everything.
All right, so Marn, skip that one.
But Morris is beautiful. Beautiful.
No, I mean, and Rupert Graves is in it.
Rupert Graves, and he's nude.
Oh, good.
Oh, no, Rupert Graves is nude in A Room with a View. It's all the same cast. They're in all those movies.
See, that's my fucking point.
I like
Merchant and Ivory. Thank you, Tomo. Merchant and Ivory films.
Very good. Additionally on the list is the movie Milk, the one with Sean Penn. Great movie.
Betsy, the documentary as well.
Mm-hmm. My Beautiful Laundrette.
Yes, that's where we get... 3-time Academy Award winner. It's going to come to me
Daniel
in a minute.
Day-Lewis.
He played Lincoln, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story about Palestinians in London. Pakistanis in London. Beautiful gay movie from the 80s. All those guys started
so far,
in
so
gay
good.
Movies
Yay.
In the 80s. Yeah.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't they? Weekend. We must be close to the end of the list in alphabetical order.
That's the first one I don't know.
It's called Weekend?
Weekend. Tom Cullen and Chris New meet at a gay club to go back to Russell's place.
Oh, I just watched Did that you? Like last, like Re- 2 weeks
released
ago.
Released in 2011.
And you don't know it. You know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I was expecting 80s movies.
No,
it
says the youngest title on our list.
Yeah, and it's really sexy
and
fun.
It was the gay and lesbian questioning Critics Awards, whatever.
Question. Aspiring.
It was their 2011 Film of the Year for LGBT themed films.
And it wasn't it. I just watched it. It's on Netflix streaming currently.
Is it?
Yeah, you can catch on Netflix streaming. They're a really sexy couple that have a hookup, and it's very chatty. They have sex, and then they just end up talking and deciding whether or not they're going to turn it into something more, or if this is just a hookup.
Delving into,
is there anything about like a dryer fresh scent?
That was a more. The worst part was there was a more long term relationship. That's the bad part about that story.
It was a movie called Snuggle.
Yeah. This time the bear gets it.
In the end, the bear
gets it in the end.
Well,
what's your last one, Xanadu?
That was Ted.
That was the last one. And then Tommel brings up one of my absolute favorite movies, A Beautiful Thing. If you've not seen it, it is right up there with Billy Elliot for just the movie that just makes me just cry with happiness. The guy that wrote or directed that movie also did Beautiful People. It was I think on BBC America, it was a TV series.
Okay.
So the character that plays the neighbor on A Beautiful Thing that thinks she's Mama Cass and goes around singing Mama Cass songs, mm-hmm. She's the hairdresser in Beautiful People. And it's the true story of, he was a dresser. He was a window dresser for maybe Macy's in New York. And his life, like what it was like for him growing up as a child in London, being the gay kid in the neighborhood. And it's
okay.
So it's a charming throwback story. In his adult life, he's dressing the windows and he tells the story, and then they flash back and you see his life as a child, as a gay kid in London. And then A Beautiful Thing is just, soccer plays a part of it. It's kind of like Bend It Like Beckham, but it's okay. With boys, but... This kid falls in love with kind of a wrong side of the tracks kid, and they have this beautiful friendship, and the mom knows her kid's gay, but nobody acknowledges it, and it's just a beautiful movie. And one of the funniest things is the little kid, and he doesn't know he's gay, he doesn't know anything, but his mom and the boyfriend are watching The Sound of Music in the living room, and they yell out, "Who plays the Baroness?" Eleanor Parker! And it was just one of those things that was like right out of my childhood. Of like, right, me on the phone with a friend in my sister's bedroom and my parents playing Trivial Pursuit. Who's been on the most Life covers? Elizabeth Taylor! Like, I could win a Trivia Pursuit in another room, not even playing. He was a window dresser for Barney's. So if you get a chance, if you can find that anywhere, I think it was called Beautiful People. But, I mean, A Beautiful Thing is a great thing, but it was called Beautiful People. And it's this charming, charming, really fun musical comedy. And the kid, like, stages musical numbers. It's right up your alley. And your kids will enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because it's not about sexuality. It's just about this kid just expressing himself and how much, like, art lives inside of him. With this funny neighbor who was also his neighbor, his mom's hairdresser in the TV show. But that's, oh my God, so the black girl that thinks she's Mama Cass and just goes around singing.
Write that down so I can write that down later.
I have all these.
I just wrote Beautiful People down.
Good work. Just when you thought this show was as gay as it could be.
Oh.
Judy Garland's sweat-stained Wizard of Oz dress sold this week for more than $1.5 million at auction.
For a goddamn gingham dress.
For a goddamn... Wow. Dress.
Wow.
Whatever had any of that cake on it from that birthday picture.
Well, it said it was sweaty. The blue gingham dress worn by Judy Garland in the 1939 movie The Wizard of Oz sold for $1.56 million at an auction in New York on Monday.
Wow.
The pinafore was one of 10 thought to have been made for Garland in her role of Dorothy in the movie. Had been estimated by Bottoms Auction House to...
Bottoms.
Bonhams.
Bonhams.
Yeah, stop.
Not
stop
Bottoms.
It.
Stop.
However, with the Judy Garland purchase, I can see. I got you. I'll allow it.
Sorry, it had been estimated to get $800,000 to $1.2 million at its Hollywood memorabilia sale, but went for $1.5 million. Described as bearing sweat stains around the neck, but in good condition, the costume was believed to be one of only two such pinafores that Garland actually wore on screen for the classic musical. It was sold to an unidentified buyer bidding by telephone. Final price for the dress, made by MGM's famous costume designer, Adrian,
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He did a lot for Grace Kelly.
MGM.
But Adrian, but if you want a fun day of stuff to Google, Google Adrian, because he put out a coffee table book. No, because they're beautiful. It's a sketches and paintings, and he was just gorgeous. All his sketches of the dresses he made are gorgeous.
Yeah, final price was $1,565,000, including commissions. For a dress. Officials said they were pleasantly surprised by the final price, but the great pieces should bring a lot of money, they say.
Now, I wonder who they were bidding against, and I'm wondering where, obviously, I'd like to know where this dress is going to wind up now. Like, is it going to be donated to some place? Is it going to be put out at somebody's house? But I would like to know
individual in their basement.
Who the other people are bidding against and where it could have wound up. Meaning, could it have been put on display somewhere? Was it somebody that was like, you know, literally had great money and was going to just donate it to a museum for maybe old Hollywood relics?
Well, and a lot of old costumes ended up with Debbie Reynolds for a long time.
That's true.
She bought them on the cheap and cleared out the vaults of stuff that no one ever...
They were just literally going to trash.
Yeah, sure. That no one thought anybody would have any use for. And then when she came time, because she was broke, to auction it off, she made a fortune.
Sure.
So who knows if it's from that collection.
I'll bet prices of famous memorabilia have soared in recent years. Just last year, the Cowardly Lion costume from the same movie, including a sculpted likeness of Bert Lahr's face, sold for $3.1 million at Bonham's auction. The same Wizard of Oz dress, not this particular one, but the same dress, was sold in 2012 at auction for $490,000 after first having been co-signed and sold in 1981 by Kent Warner, another MGM costume designer. The most expensive item of movie memorabilia clothing was Marilyn Monroe's ivory pleated subway dress from the 1955 movie The 7 Year Itch, which soared to $5.6 million.
Wow.
And that was on tour in that Hollywood Costumes that came through last year.
Was it?
Through that's part of that costume exhibit.
Oh, that was at the museum.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's one of Dorothy's dress was in that exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was. Yeah, they were the last two pieces of the exhibit. Dorothy's dress was in really good shape. Marilyn's dress was yellowed. It had patinaed.
Sure.
So it was kind of funny that some kind of shenanigans had gone on near that dress.
Mm-hmm. Some kind of shenanigans. In a final note, also in Monday's sale, a 1963 Volkswagen Beetle stunt car used in Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo was sold for a paltry $86,250.
Well, that thing was probably abused if it was a stunt car.
But wouldn't that be fun to actually drive a Herbie?
An actual
Herbie. Because over the years, there's been many. In fact, I'm surprised that that hasn't shown up. Somebody probably does. I just haven't seen it. Like the new incarnation of the Beetle, of the Volkswagen Beetle. Yeah. I've not seen one done as Herbie, though. But I bet somebody has, probably.
Well, the newest one is kind of smushed looking. Like when they brought them back, I thought they were Herbie. Super cute. But now the later model ones, the ones that are coming out now, are a little smushed.
I'm going to look. I bet you somewhere
there's... I rented one when I was in Connecticut, and it was just darling. I loved it.
They're super cute still.
Super cute.
All right. Think it can't get any gayer?
Oh, there it is. I found that was hard to do.
Oh, I'll bet it was.
I found it right there.
Look at that, the Googles.
Yeah, fucking amazing. Go ahead.
Apparently, Golden Girls-themed granny panties are apparently... now a thing.
It totes is.
Totes is.
Totes is.
Candace Puh.
Puh. Okay.
P-U-G-H, I feel like. Puh. Is a stay-at-home mom in Utah who creates fun and unexpected granny panty designs that she sells to pop culture savvy ladies through her Etsy shop, which is an online crafty sales
Crafty website. Sales.
Yeah, yeah. People like make bullshit out of beads and then they sell it on Etsy.
Gotcha. Bullshit out of beads. I'm on board.
Now, does the bull have to eat the beads to eventually do it?
No. Completely synthetic, homemade, organic bullshit.
No whip, no foam, no soy.
No nothing. Just good old fashioned American homegrown beaded bullshit.
Gotcha.
Well, Candace Puh. One of her most recent outrageously awesome designs has taken the cake. She has created a 4-piece series of Golden Girls granny panties featuring the faces of America's favorite old ladies.
Oh, no.
Now, you want some more icing on your cake? The Blanche panties are the icing of the cake. Of the four Golden Girls.
I would prefer that no one that's making Golden Girl stuff ice my cake.
That's not even a fun metaphor, yeah. Really.
Blanche, being the most preoccupied with men, her panties are, of course, crotchless.
Shut up!
Uh-huh.
Oh, I hadn't gone that far into the story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there's fine photos. Fine. Here, I'll...
Do the Dorothy's Bornex give you a lower voice?
Let's see.
Al?
Oh, my. I thought you just wanted me to look at it.
Oh, she's got a lot going on right here.
There's the rose.
I just want you to look at it.
The rose.
The rose granny panty.
Some say love.
The crotchless Blanche.
The crotchless Blanche.
Now, is that approved by the estate of Rue McClanahan is what I'd like to know.
The Dorothy's.
The Zbornak.
Manly, yes.
How would you like...
My bosom buddy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you just love to be in a dimly lit room and all of a sudden, bam, out of somebody's pants.
Yeah.
Here they come. I feel like they come in unisex sizes. I'm not sure.
I think somebody should put that in a movie somewhere. There should be a gay movie where somebody actually, in a bit of irony, isn't prepared to hook up and hooks up. And those are, oh, really?
Bob the painter.
Bob, whatever.
Other designs include Bob the Happy Little Trees painter guy from PBS. Kittens, because clearly the internet.
Why wouldn't you want kittens?
Because kittens.
You want a pussy on your pussy.
Right. Because you just can't even.
Because you can't even. That's right. You can't even.
Even. Run off to Etsy. Search for Candace Puh. Pugh.
We have before. You brought it from French. Isn't that from French Bakery?
And buy you some Golden Girls granny panties. Now,
I thought it was a candle.
Here in the studio, we've brought some desserts in, it seems.
Yes. We're being overrun.
I
love it. I'm excited. I want to abandon all the other ships.
She's still hiding something in that sack. She's good.
I'm going to take it home to mom.
Oh, I thought, because you were being very secretive earlier, and I thought you were trying to...
Is there a kitten in that sack?
Is there a kitten? TF Prince Albert in a can?
Olive oil in a jar?
Do you have frog's legs? I didn't get your pants on. Thank you. All the shenanigans.
Is your fridge running? You better go catch it.
How
always
sad.
Good.
What do you call an alligator in a vest?
Yeah, that's all that's left of the show, right?
An
alligator in a vest.
I don't know what's going to happen.
An investigator.
God. That's sad.
We've devolved into puns. What do I have? I've got one more list of crappy stuff, and then I got nothing.
Go ahead.
All right, here we go. 10. Count them. 10.
Bum, bum, bum.
Florida employers recognized as national best places to work for LGBT employees.
In Florida.
Gasp.
Okay.
10 firms from the Florida Business for Competitive Workforce Coalition received a perfect score this week from the annual Human Rights Campaign.
Okay.
The HRC ranks some companies.
The old HRC.
Organizations include... Where did they go? I lost them. We don't know. I feel like Disney was one. Here we go.
Oh, Friends of Dorothy. I know. Friends of Mickey. That's the symbol for gay in Florida. You go like this.
Florida-based companies that got a perfect score from the Human Rights Campaign in ranking workplace equality are Ackerman, AT&T, Florida Blue, Carlton Fields, Jordan Burt, Darden Restaurants, now some companies you might have heard of, Marriott, Office Depot, Tech Data, Walt Disney and Wells Fargo. So if you happen to be in Florida working for one of those companies, it might not.
And Darden suck. Restaurants includes the likes of Red Lobster and mm-hmm. I believe also the Olive Garden.
Yeah, same That's people.
All falling on hard times.
I love some Cheddar Bay biscuits. It's a true story. I'm waiting for the combo stores. You know how Pizza Hut and Taco Bell decided to share rent?
PepsiCo was like, we're going to ram these together.
They're probably going to do that soon because Red Lobster is really falling
it's
on hard
really
times.
Really suffering, for
and,
sure.
Olive Garden's not far behind.
Yeah, yeah. Because what once was...
Losing their ass on breadsticks is what they're doing.
What used to be like graduation dinner material is now, I don't want to cook.
Mm-hmm.
You want Olive Garden? Like it just, I think just people's perceptions and the things that are available to us, I think Olive Garden's just become like, all right.
But the shrinking of the middle, we've talked about this, the shrinking of the middle class has taken those out of the market where you're... your one night a week to go out and have dinner with the family is no longer affordable. So even though Red Lobster is reasonably priced, it's outside
of a lot of people's range.
Well, you have a family of four, that's still a chunk.
And the other place is like Chipotle, like that's a single, like that has to go in singles areas because if you have a family of four, Chipotle turns into like a $50 meal with drinks, sodas, and chips and guacamole. Like all of a sudden, you just spent $50 on
a meal,
four burritos. Like so, there's these price points that are only like single discretionary incomes. They have to place where they have to watch where they put them.
Sure.
And so that one day a week dinner out is kind of like disappearing from the American middle class. And if you make enough money, you don't want to go there. And if you're poor, it's not even you have to go to the dollar menu somewhere. Like,
right. Well, and I was just gonna say, like, it's becoming like not one night a week out. It's becoming all nights of the week out, but from the dollar menu.
Right, and you have to go to the dollar menu. Yeah. Yeah.
You look like you've just been through a marathon or something.
A little bit, maybe.
Okay.
Welcome back. Would you like to tell us about the desserts that these fine people are about to watch us eat? Because I'm out of stuff anyway, so. What do you got there, Mark?
Well, I tried to make a vinegar pie, and I don't think it worked out real well.
So what
is a vinegar pie? Yeah.
Well, no. That's...
Vinegar pie actually comes from, in this scenario, this actually comes from my family. Yep. Because my family always makes something called a vinegar pie, and it's a family recipe. And we joke because very few people that are not blood related to like the Richard side of my family even like it. Like, we'll make it every holiday. And I actually just made one last night.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't going to. Yeah, I wasn't going to. And I was like, oh, well, but it's Thanksgiving. All right, fine. Like that.
Throw one more thing in there.
That sentimental thing, like, have it. No, and I went to the store at like 9:30 at night. I was like, well, fuck, I'm going to go get a pie crust. I'm going to make it. Fine, because I won't make the crust. Because
no, why bother?
Right. This is clearly homemade. Pie crust is kind of a lot of work, so I go and buy them because I cheat. But it's one of those things.
Didn't work out real well.
No, it's fine. I want to know about it in a second. But it's one of those things that, like, when I call my mother to wish her a happy Thanksgiving, she'll ask me, like, did you have your vinegar pie? Yes, Mom, I had my vinegar pie. It's, you know, it's a family recipe. And ours is a bastardization of a Pennsylvania Dutch recipe. Vinegar pie is actually a thing. It was featured on, remember when Emeril was a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he did a whole thing.
Bam!
Yeah, he did a whole thing about vinegar pie. And it's kind of a Pennsylvania Dutch thing that went kind of like regionally south. The interesting thing, though, is that my family recipe, we've never found it anywhere but us. So what is in the vinegar pie?
Eggs,
okay. Vinegar.
Apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, cider vinegar.
Egg, sugar, apple cider vinegar, like a little bit of flour. And water.
Oh, good. Okay, sure.
And... that is it.
Okay. Yeah. No. It's a very simple thing. It's kind of a poor man's thing. A lot of recipes that you find on the internet.
I was supposed to dust it with cinnamon.
Oh, sure.
I forgot.
That's all right.
I have cinnamon.
Should I dust it with cinnamon? I don't know.
Well, your call.
Okay.
You're the chef.
I have
go get the cinnamon.
Yeah, and now we've become a cooking show. A lot of recipes.
As we've always threatened.
Right.
I forgot. That was like, what else was on that list?
Welcome to the cooking show on the Missy Al Network.
Yeah.
A lot of recipes, because my family is fairly interested in genealogy and like where things in our family come from, and we don't know. We know that this was Great Grandma Richard's recipe. Ours is very different. Ours ends up more pudding like.
What this is supposed to be.
Well, and involves I think you got the pudding part down, but ours involves more spices. Ours has cloves and cinnamon and allspice in it, so it becomes like a really rich tart.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm super excited to try this.
Well,
and I was just talking about it with somebody else today. I talk to a lot of people every day.
Marnie's gonna dust.
Yeah, Marnie's gonna dust a little bit. So very excited.
Oh.
Marnie's gonna.
You might want to try to dust a little closer.
Excuse me a second.
Marnie's gonna throw cinnamon at the wall in some kind of a way to ward off evil spirits.
Marnie got caught in a wind shear.
That was hysterical.
Incidentally, cinnamon is also how you reactivate the magic in Elf on the Shelf should he be touched by children.
Is that a good dusting?
I'd go a little heavier.
A little more.
Since you missed some of the clove and allspice ingredients that seem to make the family recipe palatable.
No, because a lot of recipes that I've seen don't, and a lot of pictures that I've seen, because weirdly enough, thanks to the magic of Instagram, last year I had posted, you know, like you do on holidays, you post pictures of your fucking food, because why not?
Like you do.
That's what Facebook's for.
And I hashtag that. Right.
Sorry, don't worry about it. Yeah. And cinnamon colored, you're good.
I used a hashtag, hashtag vinegar pie, and then I was like, huh, I wonder. So then I clicked on my own hashtag, and when you click on the hashtags on Instagram, it brings up everything else that was tagged that way.
That's how hashtags work.
And so I've seen pies of this, like,
ilk,
general consistency and color.
I liked ilk.
Because ours turns like a dark brown, like a clovey color.
What is this?
That is pears and wine.
Oh, no, you can't have it.
I can't have that right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
My medication will not work with that.
He's on flagyl.
I don't know that.
We're not pushing it.
Yeah,
we're just not going to know if you're like, no.
I'm just saying, because I just thought of that for mom.
I'm going to eat some more.
The fuck's in that? There ain't no wine in that, is there?
Nope.
Here, we'll let you add an opera cake.
There you go.
I'm going to dig into the opera cake.
Go right ahead.
Do you have your fork? Man, keep your spoon.
I can, okay.
Yeah, that's like a pears and something, but I don't know.
This is stimulating radio for all of you people listening. I know it is.
We're a cooking show now. This needs to go home with me.
Yeah.
Whatever this pears and wine bullshit is.
That just broke. So
this is what you amazing. This is what you had the other day that you were raving about, right? Looks like a hockey puck.
That's opera cake. And it's at room temperature, so it's the chocolate shell is softened.
Taste was just on that. And see if we should even pass it. All
right, so we're ready for bullshit.
I'd like to pass it. Yeah, I'm ready for bullshit.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Bullshit! Ready first.
That's rich.
I don't know how bad it is. I don't...
It's good, though. I'm trying. What's it taste like?
Oh, no, it's good. No. Pass that around.
Yeah?
Okay. No.
All right, put it on here. Marnie, here, I'll pass you bullshit.
Here. Thanks. Kat, would you like a little opera cake?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, guys.
There's a lot going on.
I don't know.
It's in there.
Oh. The little foodie
that
network.
That one's mine for life?
Yes.
Well, I'm gonna call it bullshit, except it's kind of like happy bullshit.
Okay.
Oh.
All and right. That's because the company, you remember that cute little Turing Pharmaceuticals?
Oh, yeah.
That reported, that took the AIDS vac, the AIDS drug.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And like toxoplasmosis.
Just, yeah. They raised the price over 5,000%.
Wow. I'm not sure what is going on with this pie.
It's tart bad?
It's very tart. Well, and you followed.
Was it ready?
Yeah, you probably weren't ready. It's tart. Following like the really sweet of the
That really was a
yeah
right.
I would maybe like take some coffee and like cleanse that palate a little bit.
Wow, that's tasty.
Putting pearls on the pig is not going
to
help.
I think whipped cream is not the way to go with it, but maybe
it's all right. Anyway, Turing Pharmaceuticals Shenanigans has reported a $14.6 million net loss in their third quarter. So that is, I'm just calling them a bullshit company. So that's the bullshit. Did you get a fork?
I got a spoon or something. Okay. Yeah.
Everybody's got a utensil.
Anyway, so that, I just wanted to, I think they're bullshit to begin with. So I liked that they lost a fuckload of money.
Done. Me too.
Yeah.
Done. Yeah, I have no idea what that is like. So, really tart?
I didn't know what to expect, but that wasn't it.
All right.
Wasn't ready for it.
I haven't tried a whole mouthful yet.
I taste the sugar.
I'm gonna take my turn at bullshit.
Bullshit.
I'm going to call bullshit at Pinterest.com today.
Oh.
I know. And here's why. I actually use Pinterest.
Anant, fuck you people in the studio.
Anant, why so bitter?
Wow, Anant. Hungry much?
I feel like Anant
maybe
might be a
little maybe
hungry.
She's hangry.
Maybe.
I'm not sure. Sorry.
She might also still be a boy.
Please explain. That fucking name gets here every time. And Aunt, tell me why you're angry. Show me on the doll.
This one over here likes to call everyone. It always calls Algie. So
I'm sorry. Continue on your Pinterest interest.
Bullshit.
Bullshit on Pinterest. Here's what I use Pinterest to like save links and to organize things that I save for later. Like I put a show tunes playlist together every week, and when I run across something new that I think I should go download or seek out, I pin a link to the Pinterest page. I also do show topics. So when I run across articles throughout the week, I just use my apps and fling it over to Pinterest, and it just stays right there in its little category. Mm-hmm. And then during showtime, like, I'll know how prepared I am or not, and I bring up my Pinterest page. That motherfucking page has been down all night until 2 minutes ago.
Oh.
Now, forgive my ignorance about the Pinterest. So, is that how that works? Is the idea of Pinterest that you just put shit you're interested in on it?
Yes.
Okay, because yes, that's, I'm not part of it, but I didn't know how it worked.
So I mocked it for a really long time because all the crafty bitches at school would be like, oh, well, isn't this cute? Look, I found it on Pinterest. And
I
all
think
this,
you'd like aspects.
This bougie motherfucking like appetizer I just made, oh, I found it on Pinterest. And I'm like, you bitches and your crafty Pinterest is some bullshit. But then I started using it. So what I do is I have, they make like little categories. So they call them boards. So they've got little categories. And I've got one that says possible show topics.
Okay.
And I've got one that says, like, oh, this is, like, liquor recipes. I called it Booze Away the Blues. And so anytime I come across a fun, boozy little recipe, I stick it in there. I've got one called Show Tunes Night, where whenever I find a YouTube video that I feel like needs to be a Show Tunes clip, I just...
And how do you, and how, may I ask, do you stick them in there? Like, how do you get them from wherever to
the rest? Just a flick of the wrist.
Just like this. I usually consume most media through my phone. And so I installed the Pinterest app, and then it has that option. So whenever I'm on a website or I'm on YouTube, anything that has a share option, I can share it directly to Pinterest.
Bingo.
Okay. And it will create that link. It'll create that pin.
Okay.
And so I use that. And so, I mean, if anybody was paying attention to the fact that I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention, is because I was panicking because all of my shit was on Pinterest. Because
everything, your backup was not there.
So my shit was not there. So I've spent much of the show paying no attention.
That's okay.
In some bullshit. I know.
Refresh.
You clearly
refresh,
didn't know it. Going, refresh. Oh my God, oh my God. And I was like, I was... two-fisted
I
over
wonder,
here.
I did
like,
wonder what
you're
doing.
Did you wonder what the fuck I was doing?
I usually don't see you be that active in what you're doing. I'm like, God, is something going on?
I usually try and be fairly engaged in other people speaking because I know I love it when y'all check out when I talk. So
what did you say?
Right. Right.
I didn't even know you were on the show for 6 months.
Bullshit. Bullshit and fuck you to Pinterest for being down from 7 p.m. until
just now
9:30
Arizona time.
Arizona time on Tuesday. Fuck you.
Gotcha.
Clayton fuck McKee. You.
Right before I get to my bullshit, I just want to show you because I found it. Look at that. There's an old Herbie and a new Herbie.
Oh,
I think those are cute.
I have to throw a bullshit that Safeway's crust is Sprouts crust is flakier than mine.
Sprouts is legit, though.
They are, but that was my first crust I ever made.
No, it was. I found that edible. No, I.
not all attempts were successful. That's a really sweet crust.
No, I thought it was very. That's
you know,
tasty.
I think that should be on a shirt somewhere, right? What you just said right there. Not all attempts are successful, and more people need to figure that out.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Like the first time you
that's
make
lovely.
Something, if it flops, well, then what did
In
we
fact,
do? And
maybe that
out,
should be
we'll
the new model of this show.
That's, you know what, Clayton? That's the motto of my segment.
I think this leads
pumpkin pie.
All right,
pumpkin pie.
So,
not yet. I stand by. I got a lot going on.
Next week we're gonna follow up, and I'll make my vinegar pie, and I'll bring
Please
it
do.
In. And we
oh,
can
we'll do a vinegar
we'll
pie.
Do,
a
we'll
week.
Do a pie
vinegar
off.
Pie off.
Joe,
so that you can taste what I've got going on.
I'd be very
Joe. I'm pretty much on board with the comment you made about eating holiday Oreos and drinking ginger ale. Both of them I like. The my call on bullshit is, and I'm surprised this didn't come up organically somehow some other way in this. I call bullshit on all of these blind, stupid sheep who are still on board believing the people who make the lies like Trump and Carson, and they are just blindly following them to slaughter. Yeah. All of this stuff about all of these, quote, tailgate parties in Jersey City, New Jersey, where they were having all of these celebrations about
Trump
the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And he stands by it, and all of these people are blindly following. It's astounding to me.
He could see the people jumping from the Twin Towers.
And he lives 4 miles from the Twin Towers.
Yeah, and we've all seen the camera shots from CNN, which is in Times Square. We've all seen those camera shots from the roof of CNN with Aaron. I think it was Aaron Brown was the reporter
back
on top.
Then, yeah.
You could see how far away it was. You couldn't tell what was happening close up. They couldn't tell. There's ABC Studios or NBC Studios couldn't tell what happened to the South Tower.
Yeah.
From where they couldn't tell what
from
happened.
From their vantage point.
That's how far away it was to look at. That they were like, well, something just happened, but we're not sure what. It looks like something may have fallen. Like, you couldn't tell through the smoke. Right. So it's just such bullshit.
Bullshit.
Maybe he had binoculars out. Like, he needs to add some second
some
part
quantifier
to, it.
To that. But the fact that he saw it on the news and he saw this and all the film and the footage. And
then suddenly people are like, oh, I saw it too.
Oh, I saw it too.
I saw it too. Shut.
No.
Yeah.
No. Now, yes, there was news footage of other, in the other countries, there were people who were cheering for that in other countries, not in Jersey City, New Jersey, where all of the injured were ferried across the river to because they were getting the fuck out of downtown, out of Manhattan.
Yeah, because you had to either take a ferry or walk right, over you the bridge.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So they were ferrying people to hospitals, and that's where the trauma centers and all the triage was going on. There was not a tailgate party. I just am astounded. So then, and then when they pinned Carson, who I guess they woke him up during a press conference, when Carson's like, well, yeah, I saw it too. And then he backtracks and he's like, well, no, it's from another country. Pay attention to what they're saying to you.
Yeah.
If you really are going to back...
stay awake long enough.
Jesus Christ. I've heard this all week. And then last night watching, because again, I was talking to Mom earlier today about this. I have almost replaced my ritual of watching the evening news with just waiting until Maddo comes on for an hour.
Yeah.
Because I don't get enough news out of 30 minutes. I need a full hour.
Yeah.
So, like, I need that. But still, when the illustrations of all of the, you know, everything, and then he's like, oh, the liberal media doesn't want to show it. Sure, they're all hiding it now. It never happened. There's no footage of it because it never
happened. There was.
But you show them, the news shows him in one of his gatherings where tens of thousands, if you listen to him, people, and they blindly follow.
And cheer.
I don't get that.
Because that's who he's appealing to, those dumb fucks, the dumb fuck uncle that everyone always hated, now has somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. Now he's not the dumb fuck uncle. Now he's, there's now a coalition of dumb fucks.
Aunts like, and uncles. Well, we used to call it the Tea Party.
Yeah, but now they have a people because that used to be just your racist aunt and uncle that came to Thanksgiving and made everyone uncomfortable with their racist, horrible remarks. Sure. Well, now there's a place for them. There's a place for everybody. Mm-hmm. They can all get together and they can be like, you think that too. See, I'm normal.
Right. So it's crazies unite. Yeah.
But okay. No, it is crazies unite, and you feel astounded. A camaraderie. But and he's up there saying everything that every person that's ever offended you said.
It's like drunk uncle, like,
right? No,
he's drunk uncle.
He's drunk uncle. Like, oh my god, it's so awful.
It's crazy. It just
without attempting to. Well, you've said it on here before. So when family member, not related, I believe brother-in-law, cousin-in-law, cousin.
Depending on where you're going, this could be anybody.
No, I'm thinking brother-in-law or brother.
I thought something where you somebody, have gone back and you've had conversations and it's
family
just,
gatherings are uncomfortable.
Oh, that's my cousin. My cousin's. It's my cousin's husband.
Yeah. Okay. I knew it was a husband somewhere.
Mm-hmm. It's my cousin's husband. But
I mean, is she? Do you think?
He's the one that says things like, Trayvon Martin should have been shot because he was smoking pot.
That's right.
And like we're sitting at a family gathering and I'm like, smoke pot. Like, you're going to shoot all of us? And he's like, well, I've never smoked pot, so I just assume that everybody's telling the truth when they say that you become very violent smoking pot.
Then shut up.
Like,
only if somebody takes your Cheetos.
And like, who are you asking? And then I realize you're asking other drunk uncles at parties that are just bigots.
He was all hopped up on that marijuana. That's exactly what they get.
Yeah, that makes you go to the store and buy Skittles and iced tea. It doesn't make you break into someone's house.
Yes. I'm going to go and eat all of this right now.
She bought gay Doritos, and she still got them in that box. Maybe we should break in and get the gay Doritos. You know what I mean? That's what pot makes you do.
Right. I bet those Doritos are good.
Those Cheetos, are they still fresh? Will I notice? Okay, so Anand brings up an interesting point about Third World. And
I'm looking up Third World,
there's not First World or Second World. There's Old World, which is Europe, New World, which is the Americas, and then Third World is whatever came later. And it just became this, like,
it says it arose during the Cold War to define countries that remain non-aligned with either NATO or the Communist bloc.
Oh, okay, so I came from a different place than I thought,
too. The United States, Western European nations, and their allies represented the First World, while the Soviet Union, China, Cuba, and their allies represented the Second World.
Commies.
Yeah.
And then everyone that wasn't either a democracy or a communist was just, and the rest. They were the other two people on Gilligan's Island that they couldn't find a rhyme for.
Exactly.
It's the professor and Marianne. Take a minute. And the rest.
Yeah.
There's two more
but
people.
But I was wondering if
work a little
like
harder. We're not on that tight of a deadline. Maybe by episode 2 you can figure out the rest of that song. You ever see that?
I feel like
early episodes of Gilligan's Island?
Oh, no, I just know it as and the Professor and Marianne. Like, the first season,
it's and the rest. Are there more people coming? What? Are we not sure? Yeah.
Maybe they weren't sure.
Yeah. They might not have been sure.
Let me see if I can find that
and
so we can
catch,
actually...
If you catch me fucked up enough, I can sing the closing...
Yeah, because...
I know the closing words, because there's a different song on the closing credits.
It's
join us here with my friend. You're sure to find a smile. The seven stranded castaways.
Here I go again, smile.
No phone, no cars, no moon of rooms. Single luxury, just Robinson
and Caruso, as primitive as can be.
So join us here to eat, my friend.
You're sure to get a smile. Castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.
Yep. That's how many times I watched that.
A dramatic reenactment.
Shenanigans.
Uh huh.
I like it.
Another thing that is on here says, today I found out a third world country is not a country that is simply because I guess this is how they're looked at, primitive, underdeveloped,
right? And then it became because the two civilized, that's how I learned it back in civilized. The day was there was the European nations were the first world. Then there was the old world, like your old world traditions, they use that in wine. Then there's new world traditions about the Americas, that was the New World. We're going to find the New World. Okay. And then the Third World was everything that just wasn't part of that 1-2 punch.
Sure.
That's how I learned it.
Okay.
And then it started to become known as underdeveloped nations. Well, like India, for example, is like one of the world's powers. Like, you know, there's some poor areas, but have you been to Mississippi? We got some too.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
if you've been to the reservation in Indiana, we got some too.
From what
I don't even need to throw that rock.
And what all of this is saying is that everybody else includes an awful lot of countries that you know were apparently underdeveloped or poor. Considering,
well,
that,
like Africa is mostly Africa and South America are almost always considered third world countries,
even though they were in our. Some of them are among the wealthiest nations in the world. Yeah.
And it was just because they didn't want to play with the other parties. So that's why they were set at the other table.
Well, and at the time, your third world countries, I'm not so sure about the history of India, but at the time they were less economically developed because we're talking like the 1950s. So you're looking at industrialized, westernized, like super...
But that doesn't explain a first or second world without the communism part of it.
The first world is industrialized, westernized America and Europe. Second world countries, communism.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And third world, the less useful, less influential, and less developed, less economically developed countries.
So that is kind of shitty. And it's funny because I had always heard it with old world and new world, but... Yeah. And then third world. But I lived with some people in the 80s who were big Trekkies, I rented a room for them for a while when I was kind of homeless.
Like you do.
I was legitimately homeless and I rented a room for them. when they would hear the term, they weren't political at all. They just spent their time watching Star Trek and things of that nature. They thought third world meant outer space. Like they literally thought it meant another planet. They took it to their life experience being like they must mean
Venus.
If I'm not mistaken, and I may be misquoting them.
My mother.
The first world was Earth. The second world was the moon, and then everything else was third world. Like meant like outer, out of our.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, and it was one of those things. I was like, not quite. But my bullshit, and I'm really surprised it hasn't come up in my. My chat room is kind of different than the chat room on there. Like, Meow Cal was in here for a while.
Oh.
There's been some, it's gone up and down in different ways. Yeah, there's been stuff on here that's not up there. I don't know what's going on.
Interesting.
Kristen Cinema.
Oh, that has caused quite the flurry.
Bullshit shit list.
What happened?
She is off the menu.
She sold out. Yeah. She sold out.
And it turns out that things that we've heard about her for years, the whisperings, the sordid tales... Mm-hmm.
The people like whatevs.
Yeah, and as Anant says, India, world's biggest democracy, which John Oliver pointed out to us last year.
Yep.
So House votes to curb Syrian refugees, and they had this vote that the president vowed to veto. Responding swiftly to the terror in Paris, the U.S. House voted overwhelmingly Thursday to erect high hurdles for Syrian and Iraqi refugees coming to American shores, dividing the president's own party as lawmakers reflected the anxiety of voters back home. The vote was 289-137, enough to override a threatened White House veto of the legislation, which was hurriedly drafted in response to the carnage in the streets of Paris. 47 Democrats voted for the bill despite President Barack Obama's biting criticism and any free-thinking person's criticism of its proposed limits. The bill would require new FBI background checks and individual sign-offs with three high-ranking U.S. officials before any refugee could come to the U.S. from Iraq or Syria, where the Islamic State group that has also claimed credit for the attacks has flourished. Republicans said it was simply prudent to place new controls on the refugee system without ending it entirely or requiring religious tests, which many in the GOP are saying Christians only. And Jeb Bush is going on records today saying you can just tell when someone's Christian.
Yeah.
Oh, because of their hate speech.
Did you see that when someone asked him, well, how can you tell that someone is a Christian? And he sat there and he got all just kind of beside himself and looked very W-like.
Yeah.
Like and, deer in the headlights.
Yeah, totally. And was like, well, I mean, you just can. You just can. You just can.
Well, remember that same question was posed to Arpaio and to what's that cunt's name, Jan Brewer.
Ugh.
Remember when during SB 1070 when they were like, "Well, how do you know someone's Mexican?"
That's right.
Like, how do you know?
Well, you just know.
No, how do you know they're illegal?
Illegal.
Oh, how do you know they're illegal?
How do you know they're legal? Because you can just tell by the color of their skin. No.
No.
Can't. Sorry.
Yeah. So I mean, this has gone on for a while, but Jeb was the one that got thrown under the bus with this one.
Sure.
Well, Trump is calling he wants to register all Muslims in some kind of a database.
Right.
You can't do that
and
with gun owners.
Watching mosques,
when you even suggest that about gun ownership, people lose their fucking minds.
True that.
All of a sudden, it's about a religion, and oh, fuck that. We got to start not lining up names. Mm-hmm. And Kristen Sinema, who gets the Cunt of the Year award for this one, this is just political cowardice. Mm-hmm. This is someone not you're not on our team.
Right.
You had a chance. It was a losing vote.
But do the right thing.
But do the right fucking thing and stand up for something with your fellow Democrats from this state and stand up for progressive ideals and just stand up and say, especially after I just saw Trumbo last week, to see people who were just cowards in the face of this absolutely asshole idea that we can tell who's good and who's bad when white men are shooting up this country, movie theaters, colleges, grade schools. Like, there's terrorism going on all over this fucking country, and we're not allowed to ask
and
any backup. We can't ask
Muslim
one fucking follow-up question.
Good or bad. Yeah. It doesn't.
But yeah. And then people are like, oh, but there's good intelligence. We had intelligence about 9/11 and we ignored it. You know what I mean? We had an actual memo called the 10 Downing Street memo that said Osama bin Laden plans to crash planes into buildings. We did nothing about it.
Right.
And now all of a sudden we're going to be smart. It's just such bullshit. But
it's not even being smart. It's being racist and inhumane. And these are widows and children, by and large. And statistically, it's ridiculous.
Fleeing for their lives.
Fleeing for their lives
from
a war-torn country
we're afraid of.
That we caused.
Did any of you have...
Yeah, that we have our finger in that pie. Like, oh my God.
Did any of you see the post that I put on the Facebooks from
the Chuck Todd?
Chuck Todd from
I have it right here
Meet
in front
the
of
Press,
me.
Where he goes through and he shows, based on data, not just
like
assumptions,
information,
real information from, what is it? The government and the immigration, the refugee program and all that. And forgive me for rounding numbers, but it's like...
I have them right
here.
Okay,
go ahead. So the numbers really speak for themselves.
There have been nearly 785,000 refugees admitted to the United States since 9/11. Only about a dozen, 12, which is roughly 1,000th of 1%, have been arrested or removed from the U.S. due to terrorism concerns. 12 out of 750,000 people. None of these folks were Syrian. The fact is, it's not that easy to get into America via the refugee process.
Right. You would just go illegally another way.
Here's how it works. The United Nations refers over refugees to the United States. They have just referred 23,000 Syrian refugees to the United States. Of those 23,000, 7,000 of them were thought to be worthy enough to be interviewed by the Department of Homeland Security. By the way, they were interviewed outside the United States. Of those 7,000, just 2,165 were accepted in the United States. Now, the real vulnerability that the U.S. lawmakers might want to look into is not the refugee process. It's actually those traveling to the U.S. on visas or with European passports.
Right.
The visa waiver program allows passport holders of 38 countries who meet certain requirements to travel to the United States without a visa, without any kind of next-level vetting. So if you have a passport from any of these 38 countries, and it doesn't list them here, but if you have certain passports and certain credentials from a list of trusted countries, you get to just come here.
And board
even
planes.
Even if your name is Fuck That Bish?
Even if your plane is Fuck... if your name is Fuck That Bish.
Yeah. You get to board planes.
And then you
planes.
Can get on a plane. Absolutely.
Almost all of the terrorists in Paris were French national citizens, which means they would have had French passports, which we don't ask questions of.
Right.
It's just an example. And if you watch President Hollande, his speech about, yes, we're at war with these people, we will continue to accept refugees. Like, we will not... Because the French are so good at what we pretend to be good at.
Yeah.
They're so good at carrying out democracy and freedom of religion and freedom of just living.
Yes.
That he's like, yes, they're terrorists. Yes, we're afraid. Yes, we're going to keep having refugees. I mean, yes we had a terrorist attack. Not yes, they're terrorists, but yes, we had a terrorist attack. Yes, we're afraid. Yes, we're going to let them keep coming. And just courage, or whatever the word would be.
And for our people who are afraid, it's important to remember that all 19 September 11th hijackers traveled to the United States on some form of a visa. That French visa we were just talking about.
That's
like they were all like.
And if Bush had just
come on in, come on.
If Bush had just let us know that there was a plan to use airplanes, someone at the, put a plan in place at the airport to look for suspected terrorists, or let the airlines know. Seal your do LL. The Israeli airline that had that had the lockdown cockpit doors for years to avoid hijacking. That was that we didn't think that up. Israeli Air
already had it.
Already had it. Yeah. All you had to do was tell them there's a thought of this coming. Try something new with your cockpit doors. But the Bush administration did absolutely nothing with the information that they had.
That's American arrogance.
But all we do. Totally. Is just piss our pants and act like cowards and do shitty things to people.
And do horrible things to...
And we pick a new group every time.
Innocent people. Right, and it's like, people that have nothing to do with this. Like, we're terrified and we're
You're
shutting,
all brown. We gotta be afraid.
And we're shutting out widows and orphans. Like, seriously. Like, these people have lost everything.
Well, like you said, let's just take the Lady Liberty and ship her back.
Submerge her. Just bury her in the ocean. Because we don't mean it. We don't mean anything about that.
Not anymore.
No. None of these 289 people.
I'm going to say it wrong, so forgive me. The Muslim dress? Is it a
I don't know.
I know I'm going to say it wrong.
The ladies wear over their heads?
Yeah.
I can't recall
them. And I just don't want to say it wrong.
I almost said haboob, but I realize that's wrong.
That's exactly it's, why
that's
I
a storm.
Hijab? Something?
Hang on.
But anyway, that's my fucking so ignorant. But put that on Lady Liberty. Can you imagine?
That people would lose their fucking
people
mind.
People lose their fucking mind. But what does it matter?
And
everybody.
Somebody yelled back at Bush today, the only person you can identify is a Muslim woman because she's wearing a headscarf.
Hijab.
So the only, So it was kind of, it's just shittiness. So Kristen Cinema, fuck you. And I put something on her page.
There was
and
also, I'm like, good for you.
I put something on her.
You said that you got a back. Like,
yeah, and it was just all political bullshit that she sent back about, I'm just trying to keep us. No, you're not. You're not trying to do anything to keep
us
safe.
You're
just trying to get
reelected. You traded a favor. No, she traded a favor is what happened. I've seen The West Wing enough times.
And a losing vote. But on a losing vote, it wasn't going to get anywhere.
Right.
The only thing was is she made sure it wasn't veto-proof. Made it veto-proof.
I almost sent a message to Katie June asking.
I wondered.
I went back and forth on that.
I've been looking all over to see if there's
Because Katie went radio
kind of
silent
statement.
On it, and so did Kristen Cinema. All of a sudden, Kristen was feeding the homeless. Like, her Facebook page all of a sudden went to like...
And again, I appreciate what Barbara Seville had to say about that, because Dion had something on about that, and Barbara said, I would want to know if this is something that she's just doing now, or if she's done this in the past. And apparently, the feeding the homeless kind of stuff, and apparently this is something that she has done. So that wasn't...
But conveniently.
It just felt... But all of a sudden, like, look over here, look over here. Think she's sick.
Right. But it was. Sleight of hand. And yeah, you go to that place.
Yeah.
But I did. I wondered what...
But I didn't find the feeding of the homeless sickening. Like, do that as penance. But she just meant, now I just look at her and she had just sick.
When is election for her back up? Did she just win last year?
Yeah, but she has to run every
2 years.
Every 2 years.
Okay.
The House of Representatives is every 2 years.
So
she's always running for re-election. 16.
So in 16.
Yeah, she'll be up this year.
So 16, just, we can say it right now. Watch the ads that are coming because when her re-election, whoever's opposing her or running against her will have.
If she gets primaried at all. Like, running a Democratic primary is going to be very hard. She's in one of the few swing states, because we've talked about gerrymandering. She's in a swing district. So having a Democrat primary her in a tough one for a Democrat to win, the incumbent would usually win, and Democrats probably aren't going to primary her. She's probably not going to face a primary challenge. If she does face a primary challenge, vote that bitch out of office. Like, that's done. That's just, you just voted like a bigot. Like, I don't trust her on anything now. Like, she's, I don't know. Because, what else is going to come up that she's going to just go spineless? Just become a Republican. Just say you're a Republican bigot and move on. Like, you don't get to be, and that's the Dino, Democrat in name only. Like, you're doing, that was just such a cowardly, cunty vote. That, except for to make it veto-proof. That was the only power it had was, Obama can't veto the bill.
Right.
So, shitty.
Got it.
Bullshitty.
They did have an interesting thing with a gentleman who, if I understood it right, is Muslim and stood there, the scarf around his eyes. Did you guys see that at all? Mm-mm. And just said...
The hug me signs?
Oh, the one in France, the hug me, yeah.
I believe that's what it was.
Like, I trust you, do you trust me?
Yeah, do you trust me?
Yeah.
I trust you. Do you trust me? Like, as
I saw lots of news coverage of that.
People coming up and just hugging him.
Sure.
Yeah.
And like, it just made me well up with tears because I thought, yeah, that's what it is. Like,
because people are generally.
Can you imagine how we would have fucking reacted if after Timothy McVeigh blew up Oklahoma City, if we went around and just wanted to kill every white guy with a crew cut?
Yeah. Every ex-military paranoid person. Ex-military,
right. I mean, like...
So, white people with bad hair.
Maybe. But...
That's an easy generalization. But I mean, I accept it. I don't have a bell, but...
if it's going on looks only...
Oh, yeah. Because you can tell.
You can always tell.
You can tell.
Well, I say that about Bergdorf. What's his name? The young man that was... that deserted... He deserted, everybody blamed. Now you know that.
I thought he was talking about Gary Berghoff. Right. Like, no, that's.
But you know how radar. Because Obama got him released with the swap. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, all my friends on Facebook that are like pro military, all of a sudden were like, oh no, he's a traitor. So you're okay with a confused young American soldier that already got? I think he got kicked out of the Coast Guard for being a little touched.
Yeah,
the Army took him.
I know, but there was something wrong with him.
And then they sent him to the Army, and they accepted him. And the minute that he like looked at his situation, he wandered off. He didn't wander off because he was a traitor. He wandered off because he was scared to death and didn't want to be like was not fit for this. The Coast Guard already proved it.
He's like,
and the
Coast Guard doesn't war with anybody. In over my head, I got to go.
They dressed as Goldie Hawn.
It's like when you're in a bar.
I'm looking for the other army with the cabanas and the beaches.
So everyone was so wanted to be like, oh, he deserves 5 years being captured and tortured. Really?
No, I feel
you don't
like
want to rescue an American
because he tried to Irish goodbye the war. I feel like no.
Irish goodbye the war.
That's my favorite. I leave all parties.
Yeah, the Irish goodbye. Yeah. It's
you don't go around and say goodbye to everybody. Nope, you go, oh, I'm fucked up. I got to go.
Yeah.
And
it's
you
better
leave.
To leave than throw up on their shoes. Yeah.
Gotcha.
That to me is just, it's so weak. And so anytime, now my three friends from high school that I'm still friends with on Facebook, whenever they post anything about like protect the military, I always remind them, I'm like, do you want me to just copy and paste or do you just remember what you had to say about the, you know, the soldier with the mental problems that you were ready to just have tortured all the time? Like, you were good with that because Obama freed him. Like, if he could have gotten... You know, I think it was captured during Obama's era too.
Did you see the meme that has been going around on Facebook? I think the one that I keep seeing is like he's a blonde haired, blue eyed guy, and it says, "Hi, this is your friend from high school that we've never talked to since. I've never left this town, and I'm going to post something racist."
Yeah,
I mean that makes me laugh every time because I get that from people back home all the time. I'll find the meme and
post
it.
Oh yeah, and then the one that I couldn't live with today was the Carter handing Obama the trophy for worst American president. And I just put on there, I'm like, did you miss Bush in the middle? And he was like, Bush was a great president. So I just listed like 2008 and the economy tanking. And like, and he's like, well, Obama caused ISIS.
No.
Really? Because he, really? So you just wanted to stay at war forever? That's your plan?
Yeah.
Like, Bad shit happens when you fuck up other people's countries.
Speaking of fucking up things, here we go. Hey, it's our final segment of the night, and it goes something like this.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
It's the easy one this time of year. What are you thankful for this year? Oh,
Christ, I knew we were getting here.
Right now, there's a bite of food.
Yeah. Is this crust or that crust?
This is...
Your crust was delicious.
Your crust was good. It was nice and sweet.
Is it D's nuts or Doe's nuts?
Are these D's nuts? I just want to taste...
Yeah, that's Sprouts crust. This is my crust. I mean, it's flakier.
Surprisingly
lighter.
Flaky.
Not
flakier.
I just don't like...
Like some people I know.
Yeah, oh. Completely.
I just don't like pumpkin pie.
There's some shade.
I know. I almost got an apple one. Like a half apple. No, this...
I enjoy... Click, it's gone. All in here. M'lady.
You know, I know Clayton gets totally annoyed. I knew that this was coming. But this kind of question, you know, looking around in this one's easy for me right now. Just insurance, health.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. Healing and being able to have that time to take. I feel good about that. Thank goodness that I have a job that...
Yeah.
Allows for that. And you know, coming up, it hasn't felt like Thanksgiving. It hasn't felt like, as far as getting ready for the holidays,
This one snuck up on me.
It really, really did, big time. And
thank you, Drew. Good night. We'll
good
see
night,
you next
Drew.
Week.
Happy Thanksgiving, hon. And congratulations on your win on Sunday, by the way. That was really hard. Oh, I love you, Drew.
Oh, I think Drew's thankful for the show. Very nice. Very nice.
But yeah, you know, just the idea of friends being able to get together. We do this every week, and so it's very fun, and I love that piece. But I do love the fact that on Thursday and Friday, getting together with people that I normally wouldn't get to see regularly, just laughing and talking. It's so much, you know, as long as that's what you make it about and just enjoying each other. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So I do like the beginning of the holiday stuff.
It's very nice.
Very thankful for that.
My answer is, and probably always will be to this question, is people. Mm-hmm. All the people, I mean, you fine folks included, and I can make you.
We are, in fact, people.
Needing.
Who need people?
Who need people.
Yeah. Well, and we're the lucky.
We're the lucky. The voiled.
Oh, from the dramatic reenactments to randomly kind acts to, you know, I always feel super lucky to have so many people that I get to interact with on a regular basis, and some of that is the job at the bar, and some of that is just that I'm a nosy bitch and I show up where there's a lot of people so that I don't feel left out. What? There's a meeting at the flagpole? I'll be there. But I always feel super lucky about how many people I get to like cross paths with on a fairly regular basis, and I'm very lucky for how wonderful most of these people are.
Mm-hmm.
You find folks included as people.
We had included twice.
You know,
as people.
As you were saying that, I was thinking over this past week since Saturday, again, I just marvel at your resilience from the past couple of years when, you know, everybody knows that you worked somewhere else and then that all changed. And I'm just, you have just bounced and into the stratosphere with stuff. You've just taken off and you're involved, you know, in so many things now.
And that was actually almost my answer. Like, leaving the cash was almost my answer for what I'm thankful for. Because, sure. Yeah, that actually opened up.
Perfect example my life of things that when you think, you know, yeah. In your darkest hour, I wasn't saying it was your darkest hour, but it's like. You
I
know,
certainly had darker than leaving that crap. Right,
but, yeah.
But, no, but at the time where you're like, whoa.
Right, but when you think the chips are down, it's really a door opening. It really is. And, I'm not trying to be schmarmy with that or anything.
No.
Her name is Marnie.
I understand that.
Damn it.
But
insensitive.
But I really do. I think it's astounding to me that all that you are involved in, and certainly. Things that I never would have thought, because I have known you, we've talked about this before, I've known you in passing over the years, and then all of a sudden, bam, you're just, you're involved.
She doesn't have that van for because of kids.
I created a brand.
She has, that's where she carries her signs. You know, her self-promotion. Cat Carlson.
Oh my God! Memorial. Did you see that? It was the anniversary of the Cat Carlson Memorial.
I saw that. I laughed.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's why she has that van. She has all kinds of, you know. She's the one back there going through.
I'm
the back
full
of
Sharpies and foam core, that's man. Exactly like right. All day long. I like it.
I'm full of more like foam it. Core than Sharpie. Just so you know. Body like by body that's by 3M.
that's kind.
And big neck.
Yeah. What are you thankful for, Mickey?
The usual things, the family, the friends, the getting V-necks, the fun that we have here, and I will parlay the fun that we have here with something that really has struck me over the past couple weeks, because again, I am a news hound and it's all over the place, and I watch, and I really think that I'm just so thankful for our freedom. The fact that we can have a show like this and say stupid shit or be drunk or have quotes wrong and eat on the air. We can do all of that.
And five people will watch us do it.
Yeah.
tens of people.
Just went up to six.
What does the YouTube say is our watchership and our
truly,
viewership?
And truly thankful for them too.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, 100%. There's no two ways about it, because they add to the show.
And the folks in the chat room are part of that, like, family. Wonderful people that touch my life every week.
Absolutely.
Currently, there are 3 viewers on it, but we've already had 37 playbacks.
Oh, I love it.
It's fantastic.
But it really is.
Tens of people.
But when you think of.
Almost dozen.
But when you think of the people who don't have. And some of the people in our chat room are prime examples of that. They live in countries where they can't do what we do and get to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
emerging nations.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's what we're.
Oh, the emerging
them.
Nations. Not the third emerging world, but the emerging nations.
I like that.
But it. I just think that it's fantastic that, and the other thing that I am struck by, and it's one of those things that I forget who had said it. I want to say it was one of the presidents of yesteryear, something with the regards, and I'm going to botch the quote up, but you can't have.
You can't always get what you want.
No,
you can't
not,
have your.
But
cake.
If you try sometimes, you just might get
what you need.
You can't have your cake and eat it
no,
too.
It's,
here, it's opera cake.
God, I'm going to screw this up. But something with the regards of. With freedom, there is restriction. What is the phrase?
Those who sacrifice
comes responsibility. Comes great responsibility.
Stand
by. No, it's
or you can't if you sacrifice liberty for safety, then you don't deserve either.
No, it's something about. No,
hang on, let it finish. We're gonna Google this up.
It's something in regards to God. I can't believe I don't even know this.
I carry the one.
No, it's the regard with. You can't have freedom without something else. Is it responsibility? No, it's like responsibility or without restraint or restriction. There's something to that effect.
Well, there's the famous one about it's Benjamin Franklin, to sacrifice liberty for freedom is to give up both. Like
no,
if
that's
you
not it.
Or safety for freedom or whatever that is.
That's not.
Because it was about, that was the answer to the Patriot Act. Like if you're giving up your freedoms for safety, then you don't deserve safety or freedom.
You can't have freedom without. God damn it! What is that phrase?
The one that she's saying is you with liberty comes great responsibility or whatever.
Freedom without responsibility, without love, without liberty. Which one do you want?
I want them all.
Yeah.
No, that's
no freedom without love
touch
is Dido.
Them all, Kirby Puckett.
Damn it! I have to find that fucking phrase. I can't think of Al. What are your thankfulness?
Anyone?
It's not as gibberishy as usual because I've only had 2 glasses of wine. No, after this week, mine is, like you said, like mine is the fact that like I bitch about having to work too much, but the fact that I get to work that much.
How are those student loans getting paid off?
Yeah.
Right there.
Really. Go ahead.
Those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves. Abe Lincoln.
No.
allegedly, according to this internet article.
Yeah, he also said a lot of things about the internet, too, according to Facebook.
He that would make his own liberty secure must guard even his enemy from opposition, Thomas Paine.
Oh, that's a good one. That's the one about the ACLU. Like, the answer to free speech is more speech.
Yes.
Like, you always, that's why they protect the Nazi marchers. You have to keep.
You have to let everyone.
Yeah, you have to let it. Freedom of speech means everyone gets free.
Google is so funny.
I think that a really interesting piece of this, and in looking for this quote or whatnot, is the fact that, you know, there are certain things that I've seen with our upcoming holiday here in America.
Hanukkah?
That one as well.
Chewbacca.
I was talking about Kwanzaa.
Okay.
But
that's later. That's.
I know, but that's what I was talking
isn't
about.
Isn't that one last?
Oh, yeah. No. Kwanzaa,
so
I was talking about Thanksgiving.
There it is.
And, you know, the idea that we came in and kicked people out.
Oh, yeah. Manifest destiny.
Right. But the fact that everyone is here, and that point gets made so often, you know, like we're all here because, you know, but for that not happening.
Yeah, refugees from somewhere else.
And that idea of kindness, and where does that, and why does that stop?
And the more people that you meet. All right,
there is no freedom without responsibility.
We've said that like four times.
I never heard one of you fucking say it. There's no freedom without limitation. One of the two.
Who said it?
I don't know who said it. I just found it.
We said responsibility about four or five times.
I'll get you on the playback.
Ad nauseum.
Fucker.
And that's one of the things from this last week, because I was telling him in text whenever he would ask me to show up somewhere. Like, I just met so many people of so many different cultures this week and religious backgrounds in a weird twist of, like, seriously,
of
like, because of work. Like, a new robe would walk down and a new way to pray and a new way to do this. And I would just be like, have at it. Like, they'd be like, we need this person to come in and pray with us. I don't give a shit. Right. Like, have at it, whatever you gotta do.
Yeah.
And the one
have a tequila,
yeah, and then I'd be like, you know, what country are you from?
What do you
like
drive
originally? Sure, like, what? Where does this? I just wanted to know, like, where does this?
What do you need?
Come from? Or then to have but we do. And we luckily we have chaplain services, which are the greatest people.
Oh, that's cool.
Quentin is the chaplain at our one of the nighttime chaplains at our hospital, and he's fantastic because he takes care of us, helps the families, and he makes those leaps where he at least goes and looks to see, like, all right, from this national origin. What might they need? And, you know, you have medicine doctors that come in. You have shamans that come in. You have all these. And then we had monks in these gorgeous robes. And they were these beautiful flowing robes. And they were in a room. And I'm like,
you think it was the Bee Gees?
What the fuck is that? Like, and I was so curious.
Jive talking.
And the prayers all sound beautiful. I don't know what they're talking about. There was another. And the women all did
jive
this.
Jive talking. It was the Bee Gees.
They did this thing with their. And I don't want to mock it because I don't know what I would be. Sure. I don't know. Because they were very gentle and very nice. And then I had one man say to me over the weekend, because it was like TV show shit. People were coming in with like diseases that people never even fucking heard of. And this one guy was, I don't want you to think that my religion would keep this going. And I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Sure.
And I had to finally say to someone this weekend, if this was pointless, I'd be the first one to tell you. Like, I'm not one for keeping grandma alive for no reason. Mm-hmm. So, and I looked at the doctor I was working with, and I'm like, and she'd be either first or second, too. Like, it'd be a horse race for one of us saying, this is futile, we gotta go. Like, this is you're not doing anything of any benefit. But it was just so weird, all the different, like, cultures and religions I came into contact with this last 6-7 days at work. Just really interesting and really, like, huh. But to have someone get, like, because I'm a bald, really white guy, because I haven't been in the sun in so long, and I'm sure I look like a terrorist, just, like, yell at me that his religion doesn't believe in this stuff. And I'm like, I don't really care. Like, you know, you say stop, we stop. Like,
but how many people have other people constantly putting their religions on?
Exactly. And then you realize that, you know, what I look like, what he looks like, we all look like a certain type.
Sure. That someone's gonna have. Because everyone sitting here looks like, according to the Donald...
Yeah.
That you should all be Christian.
Yeah.
Look like
something.
No.
Right. But
that whole idea. We look like that's what's supposed to be.
Yeah. And we had a doctor from.
So we fit in. We're okay.
We had a doctor who we think is like He's from the Middle East somewhere. I don't even want to guess a country. And I'm in case it's insulting to guess one country, not the other. He's from somewhere. He was talking to kind of a rural white family about drug abuse and saying some stuff. And then I was working with a black doctor who was listening, a black female doctor who's from a big city back east. And as all four of us, as like everybody convened, like the rural family heard one thing. He meant one thing. The black female doctor was like, if he said that to a black family, there'd be a war right now, because he just accused someone of drug abuse. Mm-hmm. That's probably just nasal decongestant. And there's me going like, oh, it's probably a diet pill. You know, there's me right. Like, I look at it. I'm like, here's a white woman, takes care of herself with a little bit of a weight problem. Probably did some diet pills back in the 80s and 90s. Like I know her. Like, I know this chick.
It's sure, me. Right?
Yeah. And everybody's going, do you think Fen-Fen? I'm like, I don't think she'd go that exotic. Like, I'm looking at her and I'm thinking Dexatrim. 1984.
Right.
I can give you the year and the drug of choice.
Everybody would
buy
it.
Yeah, you could buy it at sure. whatever the Walmart equivalent was back then.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Or Walmart might have been around back then. But it was so funny that four cultures came together on the same conversation and all of us heard something
completely different.
But to hear the woman be like, oh, that'd be fighting words. She's like, if we were back, and I think she's from Pittsburgh. If we were in Pittsburgh and he said that to a black family, that would have went down. Like, that would have been a fight because he just accused... Because he would have looked at the black family and thought meth, and they would have thought this, and somebody would have thought this, and they all meant Sudafed. Sudafed. Like, but it was just so weird to see all those cultures have one conversation, and like, not everyone's in the conversation, but everyone's hearing it a different way. And oh god, did that go on for like? It went on for like a day and a half.
Wow.
They thought mom was a drug abuser. She thought the one doctor thought the other doctor was offensive. I thought the fat girl was on diet pills. Like, it just went all different ways. So I'm grateful for that and the chance to work. You know what I mean? I bitch about it because I'm tired, but hey, I have a job.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You do.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting.
And you're really good at it.
Sometimes I think so.
Yeah.
All right, kids.
Sometimes I think you're making things up again, Missy.
But you're doing it well. But
you've done it. You've wasted.
So good.
If you want to call it that, you've wasted 3 more hours listening to us chit chat about various things. We thank you for doing so each week right here on Q Talk America. If in your culture you celebrate Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. If you don't,
happy Thursday.
Enjoy your weekend. Whatever you do, it'll be fantastic. Oh my heavens!
And we have to talk about Singles Day that happened.
And any time we'll that they want, please come sit at our table. We'd love that.
And as we wrap up tonight's show, we will leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America.